Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I was glad to see it was surfing around yesterday, and when they found that that 12 kid that was missing.
Yeah, since Sunday, Saturday night?
Saturday. Three days.
North Carolina. I was totally surprised. Obviously happy that they found the boy, but you know, when they find out that kids are missing and they've been looking for a couple of days, it's usually like that's not going to turn out good.
Well, one thing they kept stressing too, which I thought this is not going to turn out the way they wanted to, is that they kept stressing that it was a hilly cliff area,
right?
So that you know, they kept trying to suggest that even if he wandered off in the thick brush or in the dark, he could have easily have gone over the edge of something.
Yeah, and they were saying they didn't search the area that they found him in because he would have had to pass this, you know, this big mountain area, and that's where he was. And do you know,
he was 800 feet outside the perimeter, yeah, that they last checked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he saw the horses that were out, like, the, you know, they had taken horses through the woods to try to find this kid, and he said he had actually seen the horses but didn't go over to them because he was scared.
Did they think for a while there that maybe there could have been like some crazy woodsman guy who had abducted the kid?
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Which team did
they absolutely would have considered that, I would imagine.
Name's Jeremiah, look at my Johnson.
I don't think they ever came forward and said that, but I mean, as a parent, I mean, that's obviously going to be one of your concerns. I mean, not just being lost, but I mean, there's been stories where you remember a while back of some girl that was held at this guy's little,
yes,
area out in the woods, and
yeah,
dug out almost like a cave in the side of the ground, and was
with ventilation systems, yeah, and this guy was prepared to abduct this kid,
yeah,
and had gone to great lengths to secure it.
I mean, because in this day and age, that's the first place your mind goes. It's like, who's got my kid? Well, where is my kid?
In that case, I wouldn't think that. I would think because of the because of where they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about this before. If you go out and you're in the woods, And you know, so as a Boy Scout, he knows some of the tricks about where to go and so on and so forth. But you know, if you start to panic and you lose your direction,
yeah,
you're effed.
I don't know how big this place was, but when I was in the Boy Scouts, we didn't go to places that were all that big. I mean, we did French Creek, Delmont, and stuff like that, where, you know, it's...
You didn't go out into, like, Western PA,
no,
and out in the middle of...
Appalachian Trail, nothing
right,
like
the
that.
The Pine Barrens, yeah.
Yeah, so if you got lost, you were somewhat contained, you know?
Right. Well, this is out in the Fallon Wilderness.
There's a great book that I mentioned this before. It's called The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. It's a Stephen King book, and it describes in really great detail how this girl gets lost in the middle of the woods, and she just makes a couple of left turns where she should have made a right, and ends up completely separated from everybody and wanders off. And King describes it beautifully. And every time I hear about this kid getting lost in the woods, it reminds me of that because it's so easily done.
It's like an exponential. Your first, yep, mistake with your second mistake, it multiplies and
exactly,
it keeps increasing it tenfold.
Hey, dude, it was bad enough as a kid getting lost in a department store.
Yeah.
I mean, much less the woods. And it was, you know, back when I was a kid, they didn't have the security procedures that they have now, which is to lock the door, don't let anybody out, and completely search the store. It was just you wandered around,
yeah,
and if you were found, you were found, and if you know, your parents had to have been completely frantic, because I know
Did you ever get lost in a mall or a store?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, many times. I was always that kid at the front desk, and they make the announcement, we have a little boy up here who's wearing a green jacket and a brown shirt and answers to the name of Preston. You know, and that used
he
to
happen. He has Dodge car keys on him?
It was yesterday.
I used to do that, by the way.
What?
With my mother. We'd go out to, you know, if we go out, you know, to a department store or something, I'd take her, you know, like I was high school, senior, you know, first year of college or whatever, but we'd go out, okay, can you take me over, run me up to the mall? Sure. And then this is at the time where you could go to mall security. We have a lost young man here. I would go then and ask them to say over the intercom that I was lost, give my name and my whole thing.
You're an adult.
I'm an adult. So my brother would come up like so freaking embarrassed.
Aww.
God damn you. She'd come over, Mommy. And the security would always be laughing.
Isn't that sort of like unsafe, though, to just announce to everybody that there's some random kid that's here?
What was that again?
Yeah.
Come back.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're basically... I mean, I assume at this point in time they're going to be very rigorous about handing over a kid to anybody who shows up. It's not a free for all.
I don't think they do that anymore, Case. I don't think they do.
They'll just say we have a lost child. So, and that's all they say. And if your child is lost, you go up to them. So it's not like you have to give what they look like, what they're wearing, and their name. To claim a child.
Well, they would, detain them so you can't see them? And then you discard,
that's what they
really?
Like at amusement parks and stuff like that, like Sesame Place.
Really?
That's why you can, at some place, you can actually check your children. Yeah. And they give you a little coupon.
My sister actually, I have a niece who's 2, so she must have been like about a year and a half or a little less. They were at, what's that place? Dutch Wonderland.
Yeah.
Lost her for about 4 minutes.
4 whole minutes?
4 minutes, losing a 1.5-year-old eternity.
An 18-month-old man? You're terrified, I'm sure.
It's like when you're near the Dutch.
Yeah.
You know how they are.
Yeah. The Dutch Wonderland.
I know that I scared my parents to death on a couple of occasions when I was a kid, just wandering off. You know, I remember we lived in a small town in Tennessee. That's where I was originally born. And I must have been, maybe 2 years old, 3 years old, and somehow another got out of a store that my mom was in, out of a shop, out onto the street and walking through the little downtown area, and I ended up in a different store. Jesus. I mean, not only did I leave, get lost in the store, I left and went to a different store.
How old?
I was probably, 2 or 3 years old, maybe.
Oh, my God.
Maybe not that young. Old enough to communicate, so 4 at the most. And I just wandered off and left.
Is there a fine clothing store in town, sir?
Well, yes, little fella. What you looking for?
They eventually found me. Like some elderly women found me, and
we'll call him Preston.
And they took me outside, and they just waited.
You look exactly like one of my son's friends.
And you feel like such when you're a kid and you get lost in a mall situation or a store situation. You feel like such a dick. You're terrified.
Terrified.
And you feel
like
an idiot.
Absolutely. Let me go to Tina on the phones. By the way, the number 215-263-WMMR. Hey, Tina. Good morning.
Morning.
What's up?
Long time ago, when my brother was about 5 years old, we were in Disney World, and it was during the time where they were having a problem with someone abducting kids from Disney World.
Oh, Jesus.
My brother just, I don't know, we were looking at a robot, just got lost, totally lost in the crowd, and he just wandered off. My parents were panicking. It was about 45 minutes. My brother, of all the people that he went up to, he decided to go to the janitor. Not all the people around, and the janitor, for 45 minutes, he's just standing there at the janitor. My parents were petrified.
And
they could not find him. And my father has now lost all 3 of us at
and Disney is massive.
Oh, yeah.
It's just absolutely huge, and there are crowds of people everywhere.
That's why they tell kids when you go in, if you get lost, go to Janitor World.
Let's all meet at Janitor World.
All janitors all the time.
I don't understand how parents do it, though, especially if you have more than one kid and you go to places like that, and they're, walking at the age where they can walk. Honestly, I'm not even kidding you. I would take those little, leash things that they have for the kids, those, harnesses. I don't know how parents do it.
I was talking to my buddy yesterday. His wife is expecting, and he's all nervous. It's their first child. And I said, dude, don't worry about it. Babies are so low maintenance. It's when they get up and they start moving around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when the nightmare starts. That's when you've got to constantly be on the watch. And it's, it's different that now that they have security measures and things that are in place to make it a little bit easier to find kids.
But I mean, you don't know who's out there.
It still happens on a regular basis all the time. But
freaks. Bunch of freaks.
You're constantly paranoid that either, God forbid they get lost, A, but B, somebody's going to abduct them. I mean, that's the main concern.
One of the absolute worst is I went into, we were swimming. It was at Jones Beach. I was a kid, I go into the surf, I'm swimming, I'm having a great time, and I turned around, and if I had seen, when I turned around, St. Petersburg, I couldn't have been more terrified. I'm like, where the F am I? The beach looked completely different.
There was
a pyramid in the back. Holy Christ.
I've had that happen.
How far did I swim? And then you go over to this. I remember going over to the snack, the concession stand. I wanted to put suntan lotion on my head and write dick so it would burn in. And I had to, they announced over the beach, and then my dad, you know, came running over.
Did he kill you?
Oh! By the way, if, like, as a kid, if I got caught in a fire or something, you know, my, what are you doing playing in the fire?
Right.
So, what are you doing swimming in Egypt? And my dad was pissed, but you just feel like such an idiot.
I had a similar swimming incident. I was in the Bahamas with my parents. We took a cruise. I was probably like 9, 10 years old.
Right,
maybe.
Right.
And they had let me rent snorkel and fins, you know. So I took out.
If I do this, will you shut up?
I took out into the water and learned how to snorkel fairly well. So I stayed underwater for a long-ass time.
Oh, geez.
And I was gone for like an hour. And my mom, I come walking up, you know, the beach. And my mom is just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Aww. You know, she had lifeguards looking all over for me.
Wait, how old were you?
I was 9
21. Yeah. No, Steve, man, I did that when I was 21. I was in Mexico, and my mom was terrified.
Are you kidding?
I get back to the beach and my mom's like, where were you? And I was like, I was snorkeling. She's like, you're not a very strong swimmer.
You're not a strong swimmer.
Not a strong swimmer. And I think he ate. may have cramps.
Let me go to the phones. I've got Doug on the line. Hey, Doug, you're on. Good morning.
Hey, I used to work at Walmart.
Yeah.
And they have what's called a code Adam there when kids are lost. So you'll be working in the store and you'll hear, we got a code Adam. And then you'll see security walking around with the radios hunting for somebody's kid. Yeah. They won't give a description because I'll have it on the security radio. But it's funny. And the thing is, a lot of people will walk into the stores and let their kids run. And it's like when we see their kids doing stuff and like, we can't say anything because we can't approach their kids. But yet they won't watch their kids.
Oh, yeah.
You
have to watch your ass because everyone's so litigious. If you go over and do it the wrong way, your ass is in trouble.
Right.
But I can, you know, we got a code at it, which means a lost kid.
Yeah. When I was probably like 3 years old or so, we'd walk into a department store and my mom would go to the toy section.
Yeah.
You just go play with the toys. I'll shop.
Don't bother me.
I'll find you later
it's
on.
It's different now.
Yeah. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah. I would go to the toy section for a little while, but I'd always end up like next to the rider mowers, you know, sitting there.
Right,
so my dad would always beat me. I told you to go to the toy section.
I would never sit by my mom's side because I was more of a burden, especially
when you were
like,
too cool.
Yeah, way too cool. No. But like, especially food shopping and stuff like that because I wanted everything. So
I want this.
Yeah, I want that. So I would just, she didn't even want me next to her. So I would just go to the paper towels and make a fort, you know, and just kind of hang there for an hour. She knew where to find me.
You would take the paper towel rolls out and make a fort?
Yeah. Oh, dude, you could do it now. And in fact, show your kids. They'll really enjoy it.
She comes around with the car and you go, Ma, I gotta go now. I have a date tonight.
I saw a woman in the store yesterday. She had three little boys with her and they were all fighting. And she goes, she was looking at purses and she was like, go over to the shoe sex and find shoes that you want to buy. And they were like, no, we don't want to. And she goes, just go. And they started to walk away and I could tell she changed her mind. And she was like, well, hold on, wait, come here. Do you like this purse? Like she tried to call them back. I think she caught herself. Like, not a good idea.
I'm going to go to Kim on the phone. Hi, Kim, you're on. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Kim. What's up?
About 30-some years ago, my family was on vacation in Ocean City, and we were all playing a paddleball game.
Okay.
And my 2-year-old sister was 5 feet away from us at the edge of the water watching. And we turned around, and she's gone.
Oh.
And we all start panicking. We went on a 3-hour search for her. And she was, we talked to the lifeguards, the police were there.
She was with Slava.
How much does this job pay?
they said she's not going to go against the wind. Kids don't like the wind blowing in their hair, in their faces and everything. So they were going the other way. But some of my family members went in the direction that the wind, you know, was coming from.
Yeah.
And we got a call from a lifeguard, someone like, the whole beach almost knew that she was lost. I mean, you could see, are you the people looking for the little girl? Are you the people looking for the little girl?
Right.
They found her a mile away underneath a pier, sound asleep, sucker or something.
Oh my God. That is horrible.
She just made a few bucks doing pole dancing.
Oh, dude.
No, yeah, could you imagine, for how long of that duration?
Yeah.
Dying.
How long do you think that kid is dead? I mean, like 15, 20 minutes, you're like, oh, my God.
Especially on the beach.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Where they serve fudgy wudgy bars.
And babies. They sell those. Do you ever see the movie Minority Report?
Yes.
I mean, I know it's just a film, but Tom Cruise is at the crowded pool with his kid. Yeah. And he goes underwater to see how long he could. His son wanted to see how long he could hold his breath, and he comes back up.
Gone.
And he's just gone. I mean, it's not too far off from the truth on some occasions.
When they teach you, like, this kid was a scout, and he was in the scouts for like 8 or 9 months, I think it's, they were saying, do they teach you enough survival stuff at that point?
No, dude, you know how to make stew, and that's it.
No, I mean, they
survival stew?
No, you do learn how to, if you need to keep warm and things like that. Now, as far as
pull the leaves over you and stuff?
Yeah, like tracking and things like that, they may not teach you, but you do learn some basic survival skills in the scouts.
I mean, if this were me, and it were 9 months into, you know, because I went camping and stuff like that, and I was never prepared. Like,
were you a scout?
Yeah, I was a scout for a few years, but I mean,
you were never prepared. That's the opposite of
motto.
That's your motto. Never prepared.
No.
We'll actually be working, and we'll get calls from other offices in the building. We have a young man down here. He says he produces the morning gossip. We'll be right down.
He's making four to the paper.
Their motto is be prepared, and I understand that. No. But
I don't have a beeper.
But you're not prepared in that sense. You're not prepared to be lost for 7 days or half a week or whatever. Yeah. You know, ultimately, like, yeah, they teach you some things, orienteering, whatever. But, like, do you have a compass on you at all times? No.
We need a little card that says, you know, we should make up Casey's own
the Casey Scouts
regiment of Scouts.
Yeah. You know, I
with the motto never prepared.
Yeah, okay, I haven't relayed any stories about me being lost. That, you know, so
you've never been lost.
I was. My parents thought I was lost once, but I was actually sleeping under my bed. They looked for me for like 3 hours. They were looking all over
the
neighborhood.
Don't look too hard. Don't look too hard.
Hang on, I'm going to go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Good morning. You're on.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, please?
I was just going to tell you, my nephew, this is like 30 years ago.
Yep.
Outside of Cleveland, there's a place called Blossom Music Center, and it's an outdoor concert hall where it's on the side of a hill looking down an amphitheater.
Right.
So you're talking about like 20,000 people sitting on the side of a hill. My brother and sister took the kids to go see the Cleveland Orchestra, I think it was, and their 3-year-old son wandered off for like 2 hours. He was backstage playing all the instruments.
Oh my God.
And how they found him, they brought him out on the stage and said, is this anybody's little boy?
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Are you ready to adopt?
You know, I mean, it could have been worse, could have been Pink Floyd, but, you know. Still, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's wild.
That is too funny.
Hey, look at the kid on stage.
Who is that?
Yeah, kind of looks like our kid.
Let me see. I'm going to go to, Martin. Hey, Martin, good morning. You're on. Oh, sorry.
Hey,
what's up?
Hey, how you doing? These guys rock.
Thank you.
Hey,
what's up, Martin?
Rock and roll.
Hey, man, I got a story for you.
All right.
I was about 5 years old, and I was at a Sesame place. It was me, my sister, and my grandparents. And I don't know if it's still there, but they had this ride where you just go around and around in an inner tube, around some like, little ship or whatever.
Okay.
Well, the rest of my family had gotten off, and I decided I wanted to go around again. So, you know, being a little kid, I went for it.
Right.
I got off, and they were gone. So I was panicking. Some security guard found me and brought me to the little booth you guys were talking about, you know, where they can't see or anything.
Right.
And now I'm freezing because the booth is air-conditioned. I just got a towel. So I come to find out later, my grandmother, in a panic, after they called me over the PA system, ran across the street in the middle of one of these Sesame Place parades.
Yeah.
She stepped on Ernie's foot and punched Bert in the face.
Really?
You're kidding me.
Just to get through the parade. She comes into the office. She comes into the security office with two security guards behind her yelling at her for that. Why she's yelling at them to try to get me.
So punch him in the face so they would take her to security?
No, she was trying to get through the parade.
Oh.
When they do the parade, they do it along this little Sesame Street, and they block it off.
Block it off.
I had to get fist pump me.
Oh, that's too funny.
So she tried to get through, and she punched them.
Oh, my God. Fortunately, he was a member of the Casey Scouts.
He was not prepared
at all. But
I don't have a magnifying glass.
What are you talking about?
It's amazing that they found this kid. And what's incredible is how close he actually was to where the rescuers had come by and the search party and all that.
Yeah.
It's really sometimes you can be that close but just not be found.
And I think he's okay. They said he had some like bumps and bruises and was dehydrated, was being treated for dehydration, but it looks like he's going to be fine.
Yeah, it could turn out much worse. So
it qualifies as a miracle.
Yep, absolutely.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We spoke about this book. A few weeks ago, I think, when we first heard about this.
Thought it was wild.
And I love the fact that we have the man who wrote the foreword to this book on the show and is no stranger to the area of Philadelphia, no question. And, you know what? Let's just get him on board. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome John Oates to the show. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Great. It's, this is like a flashback here. WMMR.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Underground Philadelphia radio station.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know it well.
Now, you grew up in the area, John?
Yes, I did. I went to Temple University, lived downtown in Center City for many years. In fact, that's how Daryl and I got started. We actually used to come to WMMR in the middle of the night, and we used to play with acoustic guitars and do all that kind of stuff. So, you guys are, so this is like the original roots of Philadelphia for me.
Well, we just did the 40th birthday party. Had a lot of the old DJs on and stuff like that. So it would have been cool to have you around, but you're probably taking care of your stash.
Yeah.
Well, I took care of my stash a long time ago.
Hey, did you go to North Penn? Is that what I'm reading?
I went to North Penn High School, that's right. And then Temple University afterwards, yeah.
Wow. Really? So where did you live that you went to North Penn High?
North Wales.
Oh, you lived in North Wales?
Right outside of Lansdale, yeah.
That's really, that area has developed really nicely now. Have you been out there in a while?
I wouldn't say nicely would be a good adjective. It's definitely developed.
It's developed. Whether it's nicely or not, that's up for...
It went from being the country to being like the ultimate suburb, but hey.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely strip mall central out there now.
Yeah.
How are you approached about this whole mustache thing? By the way, the book is called The Book of Bert.
The Book of Bert. It's a it's a lighthearted look at the mustache, the iconic facial hair.
And the Burt refers to Burt Reynolds, who has probably one of the absolute most famous mustaches.
And what I can't figure out is why isn't it called the Book of Oats?
Yeah. Book of Oats. Well, yours is more badass than his.
Come on, you got it. I mean, man, come on. I had the serious stash.
You know what, John? And I swear, you impress me as the guy that, like, in sixth grade grew a mustache.
Well, my son's been shaving since he's been 10.
So, John, you used you said in past tense you don't have the mustache anymore.
No, I shaved it in 1990. I shaved it a long time ago. But you know what? I this thing it's become this weird thing with the internet and everything. And then I've been so associated with that image from the 70s and the 80s with that stash that. Yeah. I guess I was the logical. Maybe I'm the only person who, a former mustache wearer who could actually write. So that's the only reason.
Is that it?
I have no idea.
Or not in porn, right? So that was it. Because there's the porn stash, which is the.
I didn't qualify as the porn stash. I qualified as the rock stash.
The rock stash, which
I wasn't Tom Selleck. That would be the sitcom or the TV stash,
right?
So, yeah, there was various versions of it, but I think I had the rock stash down.
I'm going to ask my partner here, Steve. I would say, Steve, the quintessential porn stash would probably be Harry Reams.
Harry Reams. The cheesy, it just screams slimy and biological matter.
Guys, I really wouldn't know anything about
it. You wouldn't know? You were a musician. You weren't doing that kind of talking stuff.
However, you seem to know a lot about it.
Oh, yes. That's how we got our start. Preston and I were fluffers on a film.
That's what I mean, you know way too much.
Yeah.
Now, John, in your lifetime, have you ever worn a shirt that says free mustache rides on it?
You know, no, but...
No. But
I got to tell you something, and this is just an aside to the book.
Yeah.
But they're actually developing a cartoon about my mustache.
Oh, my God.
You're kidding me.
Are you serious?
It's called J-Stash, and it's unbelievable. And you're going to see it pretty soon. It's just... it's being put together right now, and it's almost ready to come out, and it's crazy.
Hey, John Oates... See, because I've gone to see you guys a couple of times in concert, and you say you cut it off in 90, and I've seen you since then, and you were on stage without it, huh?
That's right.
All right.
You know, you probably looked at me and, you know, for some reason you just couldn't envision me without
it. No, I couldn't. Yeah. My mind just filled it in naturally. It must have been. So.
Yeah, I might have been wearing a fake one, but I'm not sure.
Now, you put out some solo music. Do you and Daryl, are you on speaking terms?
Of course, we play together all the time. We just did, we just received the BMI Icon Award the other last week in L.A. And,
that's huge.
And to kind of commemorate that, we went back to the Troubadour, which is the first place we played in L.A. 35 years ago. And we played two nights there. We did, like, a special show there, and it, you know, it holds, like, 200 people. But it was great. And, we play together all the time, but we're also doing our individual solo stuff. I just completed my second solo album. It's called 1,000 Miles of Life.
Wow.
And it'll be out probably in September.
Hey, you guys had the band that was with you for the longest time. Also
top-notch
had
musicians.
Some great musicians. Was G.E. Smith and your guitarist?
Well, G.E. was our guitar player from 1979 until 1985.
Okay.
And then he went to Saturday Night Live. But, over the years, we've had the most incredible musicians in our band because people... I think musicians love to play songs, and being songwriters, and the way Daryl and I started as songwriters, I think it really appeals to good players to be able to play, songs, and that's what it's all about.
I remember, and you guys obviously, you know, you broke at the height of MTV, so videos were a huge part of what you did, and I remember one of my favorites was that showed just how talented musicians you guys were, was with you and, was it Eddie Kendrick and David Ruffin of the Temptations.
Right.
That had to have been a very cool moment as a musician for you to perform with those guys.
Well, that was probably one of the highlights of my life because as a kid, I was a Temptations, freak. I mean, they were my idols.
Yeah.
And Eddie and David were, of course, the lead singers of the original Temptations group. And we were asked to reopen the Apollo Theater after it was refurbished.
Wow.
By the NAACP, and we did a charity show for them. And Eddie, we brought Eddie and David on, and we got to play those great Temptations classics and sing it with them. So that was really a moment where, every person, you have your idols when you're a kid, but, your ultimate dream would be to actually perform with them.
Right.
And so we got to do that, so that was very cool.
And Eddie had a stash. I guess his would have been like a soul stash,
soul
right?
stash.
Now, are there in the book, because I've not physically seen it, going back to the Book of Bert, are there photos of your famous stash in the book?
Yeah, there's photos, there's actually kind of caricature drawings, and every stash man, so to speak.
Yeah.
I hope there's no stash women in there. There may be, but I'm not sure.
Well, there might be, perhaps. Perhaps some sort of chemical imbalance, post-hysterectomy, maybe.
Well, it's also a kind of an ethic thing, but hey.
Let me tell you something. Also, there's a picture of you up on the studio here on our monitors and in full stash mode, but one of your eyebrows was better than any stash I ever had. Yeah.
One of my eyebrows?
The left one.
Yeah, the left one was just really engorged with manliness.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I was very manly in those days.
Yes.
Hey, I get it, because you're an accomplished musician. You've sold millions of records. Do you mind talking about your mustache? And if not, like, how often do you talk about your mustache?
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, today I'm going to be talking about it straight for about 2 hours. You're getting me early while I'm still fresh. Okay.
Now, will you do the voice of your mustache in the cartoon version?
Well, not to give too much away, but I actually do the voice of me as today, the John Oates of today without the mustache.
Okay.
And my mustache is my alter ego. And he's kind of evil. And
is the mustache trying to get back into your good graces?
And he has superpowers, and he's kind of a prick.
So,
I can't really tell you more about it.
All right.
I guarantee you, you will like it.
So the mustache is kind of like the Garth Knight. Like in Knight Rider, Michael Knight had an evil twin, and he was Garth Knight. And your mustache is the evil alter ego of you.
The alter evil facial hair.
Wow. I love that.
That's great.
I love that. Do you know if is this like a pilot they're doing, or does it have a network home yet?
It started as a pilot. We don't have a home for it yet, but it's probably going to be released on the internet.
Hey, there's a show about a talking ass that's an animated show, so there's no problem with this making it on.
Well, just to give you an example, I don't know if you know the comedian Dave Attell.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Sure. Yep. Well, he's the voice of the mustache.
Oh! Awesome.
What? Yeah. You're set.
This is the best show ever. This is the book.
This is happening. So, I mean, when you combine the book of Bert, with the new J-Stash cartoon.
The new record.
And my solo album.
Yeah.
Next year is the year of the oats.
Yes. I love it.
There's no way around it. You'll never get away from me.
I love it.
Well, you've got to come back to Philadelphia. You got to come here and perform when you're hitting the road to promote the album, man.
Absolutely, I'll be there.
We'd love to have you by MMR. Cool, man. Well, great to talk to you, John.
Thank you so much.
And best of luck to you and your long gone stash. We appreciate it. John Oates, called the Book of Bert. I love it.
I've seen them in concert a couple. I got to tell you, I saw them with Todd Rundgren on a show.
Really?
And it was effing awesome.
No, they're great.
I mean when a band, when you go to see, we talked about it, Professor, it's rare that you go see an artist where every song was a friggin' hit.
Well, and the thing about John Oates is he wrote a lot of those huge songs for them. And Daryl's got the voice, obviously. Yeah, he's you know, the blue-eyed soul, and they harmonize really well together. But John is one of the writing forces behind that, and just made gazillions of dollars and huge hit records. One of the biggest of the groups of the 80s.
What a nice guy, too.
And a very nice guy.
For 50 plus years, MMR has owned the Stones. And now you can own the Stones with a free pair of tickets. Listen to Win Your Way In to see the Rolling Stones July 23rd in Philadelphia. Tune in at 8 a.m. when Preston and Steve reveal the winning Stone song of the day and the hour it will play. Listen for MMR to play it from a vinyl copy of Honk, their new greatest hits album. 25th caller picks up the record and two tickets to see the Rolling Stones. When we spin, you win. Only from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I'm behind the board here. Marissa is being molested by Casey.
Ew.
I need headphones.
Wait, can you give me your clothes back because they smell better?
Take your top off. He is all over her. He is.
Dude, totally took a bath in Dora the Explorer bubble bath. So I know how about that I smell good.
You know what?
I smell like strawberries. Shut up.
Listen, I want to point this out to the listening audience. Yes. At the moment,
if there's anybody left, by
the way. That's true. Thank you, Mark.
I heard Mark Summer and Harvey.
Listen, at the moment, if some of this is not making any sense whatsoever, wait until our video is done of this, and you will get a taste of everything.
We will be vindicated.
That's been going on behind the scenes.
Look, someone needs to pull Case. Literally,
okay. Yes.
This is you're going to get.
You're going to give her a baby,
Preston.
What? No. Here's the thing.
I've had
man.
Dogs that were better behaved.
Preston, thank you, Harvey. What, Casey?
I don't know.
All right, Nick. What were you going to say,
Preston?
What?
Preston.
Wait, okay, Nick was
Preston.
What?
Seriously.
Okay.
One ear.
You got something to tell me?
I do. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Calm everybody else down.
Okay. And just get it under control?
No, man, we got stuff to do, man.
Okay. Thank you, Nick, for being the voice of reason. You're right.
Steve,
Nick was very good. He came over and asked what our next contest was.
Yeah. But literally, and 2 hours ago, we could smell the drunk in the air.
Well, Casey came to me in the bathroom. It's where we do our best conversation.
Oh, man.
And he said, you know what? In about an hour, I will not even remember this conversation. And he is completely correct.
Listen, now, Nick is desperately.
Yeah, Nick, Casey, be quiet.
Listen, I want to do well in whatever we're doing next. What are we doing next?
Why are you still wearing goggles?
Well, let's reset here. We have... we're playing drunk double.
Wait. I have a request from Preston or Marissa. Either one of you guys.
Okay.
Because Preston, you moved over. No, you're not... That's
I'm
Marissa.
Over here. Yeah, that's Marissa.
Marissa moved over. Listen, just do me a favor and get me some carrots, because...
Carrots?
Carrots.
I can't see at all.
That just was the worst joke I've ever heard
I'm not kidding.
In my life.
I can't see anything.
Are you seeing triple, double, what?
I got like six Marissas in view.
Wow. Yeah, then it's time to cut Nick off,
yeah,
I think.
Casey's a little more with it. I mean, not much,
Casey's
but
more
Nick
physically
is just
adroit.
No, yeah, Nick Marissa is kind of, his eyes
over.
Are closing.
Marissa moved over to the other side.
Nick is sweating, too, by the way.
No, actually, I'm pretty good.
Are you okay?
Your hair is wet.
Wait, how many Marissas? Because I see one.
Do you know what? Are we getting these guys home, by the way? Do we have any?
We have rides. Mark,
you know, we
Mark?
Did, Mark. We gassed up their cars so they won't run out of gas. Yeah. No. They're getting rides home.
Now, Mike from Dave's Limo is going to be giving people a lift home, I believe, right?
Yes.
Isn't that it?
I guess either that or the intern Joe gay drive home service.
Wait, did you say Mike's limo?
It's
Dave's limo.
Oh, yeah. Dave's limo is taking Robin home because she made it abundantly clear that she wants to get home.
Well, she gets driven home without any service, but me and Nick get it.
What are you trying to say?
No, I'm stuck.
All right, I think we need to get to the next physical challenge.
I agree. Because,
what are you talking about? Skipping the question and going right to the physical challenge?
I think, you know what?
I have a guitar.
I think you're right.
All right. Not unless you feel compelled to do a question just for protocol, Mark.
No. I'm working for you guys today, so whatever you want to do is fine.
Oh, boy, my favorite thing, a drunk with a guitar.
Wow. Summer's what a treat, here, man.
Why did you, Steve, just give him a guitar? Intern Steve gave him a guitar.
He
can't stop. All right.
I told him to.
Here's what we're going to do. Let's do our next challenge.
Okay.
Let's get two. We'll select the two callers they're playing for. Go right to the Double Dare.
Okay.
And it will be the golf ball challenge. You guys all on board with that?
Yeah,
Casey? Yeah, man. Bring it.
Are you with me on this, Springsteen?
I'm bringing it with you.
Totally. All right, so let's find out who we're playing with.
Take the guitar off, please. You're going to have to. Case, you have to. All right, for the physical challenge,
Preston,
you have to.
Preston.
Right.
Preston.
Yeah.
Preston.
Nick.
Dude, you are the host with the most, man.
Preston, 1950.
I am the meat behind the beat.
He's the geeter with the heater.
All right, what's that, Casey?
Dude, he's got like seven drinks on his table right now. Nick, you are the drinker with the least anchor.
All right, here we go. Nick and Casey, I'm going to assume that you both have jock straps on. Is that true? Let's hope that before you drop your
Mark Summers,
again.
I will answer yes in the affirmative.
Okay, good. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up some golf balls over on one side of the studio and some buckets on the other side.
That is right.
And you must cumulatively, easy for me to say, with your butt cheeks, I've never said that before.
Mark, I quit.
There you go. You pick up the golf balls with those cheeks and run across the room and drop them into the buckets, and the first team, or combining, if you have five in, we'll say, 60 seconds, those lovely folks who are on the line are going to win some prizes.
All right, and those people on the line that we have Eddie and Pete are going to be our contestants on the line.
Who am I playing for? So now, Nick, you're playing for
both of them.
Yeah. Nick and Casey. You're going to need to go down to your jock straps now,
all right.
Okay?
No, that's fine. All right. So,
if you remove your shorts,
yeah.
So and you're ready, because you're going to... This is a lot like the frat game of the cherry in the butt. It's the same thing.
Totally behind me.
What?
I just felt the pack.
What are you talking about?
I'm not sure what that means. Could you...
You're an impressive shut up for a second.
I don't know what you're saying.
All right. I don't know what I'm saying either. All I know is...
All right. Wait, let's take our shoes off for fun.
Nick loves to have his shoes off.
I know he does.
As soon as they started taking their pants off, Robin ran clear across the studio.
But I took my pants off and Robin came running towards us.
Wow.
Yeah, what planet are you on, pal?
Where's Robin?
All right, guys.
I'm on robinwantsfmeplanet.com.
Notice the fight for the microphone between these two.
All right, guys, come on over to your stations over here, so to speak, where the golf balls are. Yeah, you have stations. Where are the golf balls?
Preston.
Golf balls out here, please. Lay them down
here. Steve, or some. Oh, there you
go. Don't start the spite.
Okay, guys.
Casey, listen to Mark.
Casey, come on over here. Come on, Casey.
Casey.
Here, Casey. Here, boy.
Get it.
I see you, but I'm on the mic.
Casey, go.
There we go. We're gonna put these golf balls down here.
Casey,
go over to where the golf balls are.
Okay? I listen to Steve. What should I do?
Thank you, Casey. Go over to where Steve is behind you.
Take your headphones off.
No.
All right.
He is attached to these headphones.
All right, well then, Steve, if you'd be so kind to hold the pack as he does this. So, Casey, go over to the golf balls.
I love you, Steve.
I love you, too.
All right, I'm not going to whisper about it. I'm going to shout it
from the rooftop.
To the rooftops.
Nick is just giggling now. Man. Come on, Casey. Come on,
Nick.
Over here.
Away
from the microphone.
Right. And then Nick.
Oh my God.
Somebody take Nick's drink. Nick, take your last sip
you
there.
See, he's walking like a Clydesdale. Have you
Casey,
noticed that?
Yeah.
Very all right, here clunky. We go, guys. You're going to have 60 seconds to get five of those balls in your butt cheeks individually and drop them in the bucket. Good luck.
60 seconds.
60 seconds on the clock.
One bucket.
On your mark.
One bucket.
Get set. What? There's one bucket.
Nick, there's just one bucket.
Okay. Nick already has a ball in his ass.
So to speak. All right. Good luck. On your mark. Get set. Go! Here we go. They're trying to pick up those golf balls in the cheeks of you-know-what, and then pick them up and drop them into the bucket.
And
the time
so
is ticking by.
By the way, Casey's got one.
Casey's got one. Can you get it in there now? That's the question. Oh,
yeah!
Man.
Yeah!
One is there. We're still trying to get it.
Yeah!
Oh, my.
Nick, what are you doing?
Stand
my
up,
whole
Nick.
Career is flashing in
Nick,
front of me.
The ball keeps falling out of Nick.
We are down to about 30 seconds now, and only one ball is in that bucket.
Come on, Nick.
And
on, Nick.
Nick is trying to get that. He's slowly going across the floor.
Casey.
Casey's going to do it.
Casey, hold on.
Number two.
If I was in college, I'd be leaving the room. What the hell is a 57-year-old man doing here?
Okay. We're down to 10 seconds.
Let's see if I can do it.
9, 8, 7, 6.
Come on, Case. You got
5,
it, man.
4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, you know, 3, Preston and Steve, that's good
that
enough.
That works, Mark.
So, Mark,
yes. Harvey, what have they won?
We're going to set up Eddie and Pete. Harvey, what are Eddie and Pete going to get as a prize?
Well, they are going to win Sex and Death 101 on DVD starring Winona Ryder, and also they're going to win Deadliest Catch Alaskan Storm for Xbox 360 yeah. and a complete new sleeve of golf balls.
Those guys will go out into the middle of the Bering Sea. In search of anything, but what just came out of my ass. I promise you, that's not even true. That's funny. That's funny.
Preston, you know, they have lost it. They've gone to the other side.
We did one test version of this, and I'm not kidding you.
Yeah?
At all. The first test run, Casey came back to me afterwards. He's like, listen, that golf ball that I just dropped in the bucket, there's poop on it.
But he cleaned his ass today. By the way, Robin's asking to participate in the contest.
Oh, yeah, she wants to do it.
I don't see a radio award list anywhere. I'm going to tell you guys.
But Robin, you don't know.
You don't know. You don't know. And let me tell you something. Right now, NPR doing exactly the same thing.
All right.
With Smirconis.
With
Smirconis. Hey, is there poop on this golf ball? I don't know. You know what? Yo, dude, check this out.
Oh,
Steve Morrison is smart, and he's going to bald head, too.
Wow.
Is there a correlation? I don't know. I don't know.
You got a problem with bald, Casey? What?
Oh. Yo, dude.
What?
Hey, Preston, can we ask him one more question?
Yes! Right. And your answer is...
Okay, wait, hold on.
Casey, Nick, you guys jump in on this. This is easy now.
Here we go.
Which of Disney's 7 dwarves wears glasses? Is it Sneezy?
Doc!
Glaucomy?
Doc!
Master Beatty?
Doc!
Or Doc?
I answered first. I said Doc.
All right, you got it.
And Steve is smarter than Michael Smirconis.
Yo, I think it's time for the obstacle course.
Listen, I think you're right, Mark.
All right. Casey's commentary.
Let's get these guys, their pants on.
Yes.
We're going to get them set to do our final outdoor physical challenge.
Yes.
No, let me stop here for a second.
Okay.
Steve, you could totally do it.
Thank you. I know. Thank you. All right, thanks for looking out for me, man.
With that said, shut up, Preston.
Okay, sir.
Okay. Let me just think for a second.
Kathy?
Yes?
You could totally do a children's book.
Thank you.
I think it needs to be about, somebody who can totally do something cool.
Okay. All right. I would like that.
I like that. That's a good plot.
I don't want to ruin anything that you already have going on.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you know all those children's books, right?
Anybody else?
Nick, are you okay? Nick, are you literally blind now?
Nick's still wearing his goggles.
Nick,
so are you!
He didn't know he was wearing his goggles.
That's funny, huh? Oh, that's real funny, huh? Now, seriously, the typewriter and stuff.
Do we have oxygen or something?
I got
a
follow
help.
Coming.
Here's
the deal.
Quickly.
Just move on.
That's a good idea.
Wow, the voice of reason.
I'm going to take control now. I'm going to.
I got one thing.
Piss off.
Kat is awesome.
All right. We're going to come back in a moment. Yes, Kat.
I just want to remind everyone that they're still just in their dock straps.
That's true.
Ready to boogie. Come on.
We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're going to be outside.
Yeah.
And we're going to go for the obstacle course physical challenge. Drunk Day Double Dare.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
Now. 93.3 WMMR. Now. Everything that rocks.
There was a big show this weekend, and we talked about it earlier, Jimmy Buffett, and very rarely do you see an opening act for his show, but one of our very own here locally got that gig.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, and we are so happy to have him in our studio. Please welcome the one and only G-Law!
Yeah, what's up?
Garrett, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Preston?
Doing good. It's been a while since we've seen you, man.
I know.
Life's been good. Awesome, man.
Life's been great. And it looks like life's been pretty good for you guys over here, too.
Yeah.
You're drinking mojitos, and it's not even 10 a.m.
Just a regular day.
Yeah, you've never seen... In fact, I don't think you've been... We used to have you over at Y100 a fair amount, but you haven't been on the show since you've been here at MMR.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you've been...
I've never been on MMR, period.
And there you go.
But I've been listening since I've been a kid, so that's pretty cool.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, we're changing that today.
I was partying with Pierre all weekend, too.
Were you really?
Yeah.
At the Buffett show?
At the Buffett show, and then afterwards in the bar at the Four Seasons.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's a good one to party with, and he's a gigantic Buffett fan.
Oh yeah.
Were you likewise prior to doing the gig?
I mean, my parents and everybody were, and so I grew up. I had a couple of those records, and then this summer I got to go to the first show in Atlantic City, and then I was converted. So
wow, yeah.
And the other night was amazing.
That had to be cool, especially for the hometown audience.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
where 50,000 people.
Wow.
Jesus. The show had sold out in 8 minutes.
Man, that is unreal. Now, you've played some big shows before. You played Woodstock.
Yeah.
Which was,
were you guys at Woodstock?
I wasn't there, but I watched
you. You started the fire, right?
Yes, that's right.
No, but man, I watched that stuff. I watched it all burn down in flames from my campground. I watched the light stick war and all that sort of stuff going down. But at Woodstock, you could slowly see the descent into madness, you know, from Friday to Saturday night. It got a little bit crazy, and
Buffett's like that with Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah. It was 150,000 kids that looked just like you, man.
Yeah. You know what? I almost got run over by cops on ATVs, and it was really, really insane.
Well, at that show, was that you and Special Sauce? Was that just you?
No, that was Special Sauce, yeah.
Okay, because I thought I saw you just sitting on a stool with your guitar and harmonica, but I guess the band was in there somewhere.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. We were supposed to play just the Thursday night before the actual Woodstock started.
Yeah.
And then that band Sugar Ray...
Yeah.
Mark McGrath had gotten, laryngitis or something like that. So at the last minute, they're like, yo, you need to play on the main stage. So we went on right before James Brown.
How amazing that Sugar Ray constituted a Woodstock band. That's too funny.
And then, so James Brown came on after you?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Did you see
him? Oh, it was crazy, man. I walked right by him backstage.
Wow.
Did you?
Mr. Brown.
Did you get into the crowd?
Don't call him a James.
Don't call him a James.
Or were you like backstage the whole time, or did you actually get to mingle with the 100,000 people?
I was backstage a lot. I walked around, but it was, you know what it was? The problem was that they were charging like $5 for a bottle of water.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the middle of the summer,
mm-hmm.
and there's all these kids, no one has any money, so it's just like a miserable thing. There's not a water fountain in sight anywhere. So if you want to get a drink, you had to pay.
Yeah.
And then that's why I think that it blew up.
Well, they had mist tents that worked up until Friday night.
Yeah.
They didn't clean the bathrooms or the porta potties
at all.
Oh, so, like,
man.
Saturday afternoon, it was, like you were at a sewage treatment plant.
Right.
It was, they treated the
good old days.
The same thing would routinely only happened during an Ann Murray concert.
Yeah. But lots of yummies were swallowed.
Yeah, were swallowed. Yes. Hopefully I've motivated you to write a song, G.
I wrote a lot of songs about that, Preston.
Oh, my God.
And you just got back from Japan as well, right?
Yeah.
You were blogging on Philadelphia.
That's why I'm so awake right now, because I'm jet lagged, man. Otherwise, I'd be dragging, man.
Sure, yeah. It works to your advantage.
Well, the Buffett show, did any of that weather come in while you were on stage, or was that after you got done?
No, literally like 5 minutes after we got done, it just started. Damn. I didn't even get backstage yet, and it just and the whole sky just opened up. So.
Wow. Did the set feel good? You guys?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. The crowd was awesome. You know, like when you're playing a place like that as the opening act, you know, it's that, you know, the Citizens Bank holds like 50,000 people. So when we first started, there's 10,000 people, but it seems like it's nobody out there, you know?
Right.
And then every song, like another 5 or 10,000 people come in. So by the end, you got like a great crowd. And
that's cool.
It was a cool crowd, man.
Is that hard for you opening up? Because I know that you like to do marathon shows, and I've been at a couple where you just won't stop. And, and it is awesome to watch you guys just jam out. And I know that you like to do that. Was it a little bit hard cutting it short?
Yeah, it was, because we just got, and that was really short because we just got 35 minutes. So I was able to do the whole set except for I didn't get the cold beverage. I was like,
oh man. I got a couple emails that were like, dude, why didn't he play?
Oh, no.
Because,
I mean, you know, it's pretty cool, though, because, you know, Jimmy's got Margaritaville.
Right.
I got cold beverage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got Let's Get Drunk and Screw. I got the booty call.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of
Symmetry.
A lot of symmetry.
That's awesome.
We're on the same page.
Well, what are you going to play for us this morning? You got all your stuff there ready.
I'm going to play a song from the new record and a song called Peace, Love, and Happiness.
Cool, man. Let's hear it. This is G Love on MMR.
Just weigh on your shoulders, pick it up, push it off before you let yourself get colder. Just look into the eyes, the good eyes of a child, and see that love rise like a river and flow for 1,000 miles. Give me some peace, love, happiness. Your heartbeat to know that life's worth living. Feel your feet on the earth. You better love it while I'm still here spinning. I got no time to worry about trouble or misgiving. You need to let it flow. Let yourself go. If you hating and you show I ain't living, give me some peace, love, happiness. Talking, need somebody to listen. A lot of people struggling. If you got it, well, you better start giving a little more peace, love, happiness. President just build more bombs when they should stop disarming. With all that money spent on guns instead of food and education, we need to buy a little peace and love instead. Start the healing of the nation. Give us some peace, love, happiness.
Peace, love, and happiness. Love on MMR. Peace, love, and happiness. God, don't you wish you could play harmonica?
Yeah.
I really
wish
I could play.
I don't think I could even actually put it on. Yeah. So, let's play it.
Yeah.
Can't figure out how you do that.
It's just such, you know, the thing about it, dude, is it's feel-good music that you always put out. You know what I mean?
Thanks, man. I feel good doing it.
Can I get a mojito, please?
My music just makes it feel like drinking right away.
Yeah. It does.
I am in the mood. I have to ask about the origin of the name of the album, Superhero Brother, because, and let me preface this by saying I was at a party at your house one time, and I took a dump in your bathroom. So.
Was that what it's about?
Well, no. While I was in the bathroom, I noticed that that G had a bunch of comic books sitting around, and I forgot what they
were. And other assorted magazines.
Yes, another sort of magazines. No, did that, is it?
That's why you were in there so long. Huh?
Yeah, it was the other ones, actually. No, but I was wondering if you are, is that, does that come from comics, you know, like the classic superhero, or does it mean something else?
You know, like, I don't know how I come up with half the stuff I come up with. But yeah, definitely.
It all comes from the bathroom, though.
Definitely grew up listening, I mean, you know, going to Fat. Remember Fat Joe's on Sansom Street? We used to go there and collect comic books. And but then this song, Superhero Brother, was just basically this character I made up about how I could save the world with my guitar.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Yeah, I can do that. I'm going to do that.
He's not
right after I leave here with four mojitos in me.
Hang on. I want to go to this call because this looks pretty interesting. I've got Amy on the line. Hey, Amy, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I love you. I moved here because of you. My husband had a chance to be transferred. We were in Nashville for 18 years, and I'd never gotten to see you play. And I told him the only way I would agree to move up here is if he took me to one of your concerts. And we did a few years ago, got to see you, took the whole family, and went to see you at Electric Factory, and it was fabulous.
Oh, cool. There you go. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Every single CD, even the ones that you had, like, seven for sale that were, you know, I think maybe independently produced or something, every single one of them.
I wish more people were like you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
If you're just joining us, Mr. G-Love is in our studio this morning and played the opening slot at the Buffett Show yesterday, 50,000 people, Citizens Bank Park. Damn. Huge show. And Nick wanted me to ask you, I guess you guys were talking off air about you coming out at the beginning of the show or something.
I'm glad you finish that sentence.
Yes.
You picked our show to come out.
No, so Jimmy was going to have me out for the song "Son of a Son." So it's written in the set list. So, you know, I'm right on it right before the song. I'm all plugged in with my monitors, and then his battery pack goes down. So they're going to move the song, but then they said no, they're going to keep it like that. And then Jimmy starts, you know, he just tells a little story before each song. So he's telling a little story, and then he forgets to tell the story about how I'm coming out on stage to sit in.
Oh, man.
So then the monitor guys are like, just go. Just go out there. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not going out there.
No, you can't do that.
And then Mac, the guitar player, is over on the stage. He's waving at me. Come on, G. Come on out here. And Jimmy's totally oblivious to the whole thing. So I have to walk across, and there's like 20 people in the band. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah,
so here I come walking out on stage, you know, with my harmonica. So I don't have a guitar. And people are probably like, who's that?
Who the hell is that? What is this kid doing?
Could
you imagine? You're walking. Who the hell are you? Who is this guy?
The band's looking at me like, who the hell is this guy? So I walk out and I just pick up the mic and start playing a harmonica. Jimmy goes, well, hey, G Love. So that was pretty funny, man.
Oh, that is too funny. Hey, I got a couple of emails and instant messages that said that your show at Festival Pier, you had said, is on the 12th. They've got it labeled as August 16th.
Yeah, well, I have no idea what I'm doing, man.
If you want a special intimate show, go see that 12th one.
Yeah. Hey,
please do. Hey, you don't happen to know Heaven Can Wait from Iron Maiden?
Heaven can wait! Heaven can wait!
No, it's just an inside joke. Never mind. We were talking off air. We wanted to have G-Love play another song. And since I got an email and you'd mentioned also that that because of the set, you guys had to make it a little more quickly. You didn't get to do, you know, the most expected number from you.
Yeah, but can we just rewind for a second?
Yes.
I got a good R. Kelly story for you.
Oh! Do tell, yeah.
So I was in Chicago, right, and I was at this club, and, you know, R. Kelly was there, and then the club
peeing
lets out.
Peeing on you?
I thought it felt like a sprinkler or something. I thought it was a mojito, you know? No, so some, you know, I'm with this hot chick.
Yeah.
I'm with this hot chick. So we stand outside the club. I was like, let's check out some other hot chicks walking out of the club. So we're outside the club, And I was feeling good after like 20 mojitos.
Yeah.
And I'm standing on the side, and there's this crazy black convertible Lamborghini right in front of us. It's the slickest Lamborghini I've ever seen. And then all of a sudden, me and this girl are standing there having a cigarette, and a bunch of huge black men start kind of encircling us. And we're like, what's going on around here? So they kind of clear out this area, and then within like 10 minutes, there's like 20 dudes all standing around. And then here comes like two big security guys kind of escorting this guy who's stumbling drunk, who's R. Kelly.
Oh, nice. Man.
So they escort him right into the driver's seat of his Lamborghini.
No!
I mean, he was falling down drunk.
No.
Sat him in there, and then like, okay, and he went off with one of his boys.
Not like
I was like, yo, film this YouTube.
Not like getting a guy is completely wasted behind the wheel of a V12 engine.
Uh-huh. Oh,
did they at least point the wheel towards his house?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was crazy, man.
Wow, that's unreal. Yeah, so did you watch him drive away? Did he?
Yeah, we were just like flies in the wall. They had cleared out like this whole... They had just blocked off the whole street.
Damn, man. That's harsh. That is harsh. Well, he's off the hook now, man.
Yeah.
He's good to go.
He's back at that club right now.
Yeah,
he probably is.
Peeing away.
All right, so you're going to play Cold Beverage?
Yeah.
Live,
yeah.
It's T-Love on MMR.
Yo, could I get a cold beverage? Cause I need some leverage. It's sweaty outside. Lemonade would be nice. Some Sprite from the drive to a BK. Yo, a bottle of drink, but the girls got to pay on the front porch. I got some iced tea. And if you like a taste of tea, then come along with me. Summertime I steam, but don't give me no bud juice. A glass, some ice, and a dash of vermouth. It's martini time. Yeah, feel the golden. Bring your own beverage. Make sure it's cold. And I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage. Beverage, yeah, because I, woo, yeah, baby. Yo, Preston, pour me another. Oh, yeah, that's how I kick it. So frosty, my fill with A and W. You got ice cream, then make it a double sugar shake from the fountain. Real good sounding. Chocolate egg cream, yo, I'm champ cherry panda. Caught a chip vibe, all suits in my vibe. While we're through the right, take your beverages out of me, a hot coffee. Fill it up with some ice. Watermelon, second drink, could you fix me a large slice? Summertime is steaming, but the heat is getting old. I have a beverage, make sure the dawn is cold. Cold, cold, cold. Something from the bar, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. Because I feel like kind of thirsty. Hey, yo, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge. Stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge. I say, go, girl, work the cold one. Yeah, go, girl, work the cold one. Go, girl, work the cold one. Oh, yeah. Yo, when I'm fishing, let's keep one thing clear. The bait's over there, but my brew is right here. 2 6-packs and a big bag of ice. Didn't even get your bite, but the brew tastes nice. But to the ball, strawberry daiquiris and a colada. Need a whole lot of them fruit drinks to catch me a buzz. Saying I'm the Kool-Aid kid, y'all serve my drink, but please stick it in the fridge. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah.
Yeah! Woo! That is it right there. Key Love on MMR. Hey, how old were you when you wrote that song? You remember?
I was 19.
19 years old.
Yeah.
And that just...
Waiting for my brakes to get fixed on my 63 Dodge Dart.
Really?
Dude, I had a Dart.
Yeah, nice.
It had the slant 6 engine.
Yeah, and the push button, push button transmission.
I freaking love that. Yeah, it was awesome.
And then years later, it was sitting on my block in Fishtown, and I was on tour so long that I just came home from one tour. The wheels were flat. I came home from the next tour. The wheels were flat. The radio was gone. Came back next door, and it was gone.
Was that with the Mayor Street Initiative where he took all the abandoned cars off the blocks?
I think this was it was like Rendell.
Okay.
Oh man.
So that was a Dart. What are you driving now?
A Lamborghini.
A black one.
A black one.
You got it from
with a big dent.
Yeah. But the damn thing smells like pee.
Hey, I need to ask you about cold beverage, because as all the years that I've been listening to that song and singing to, I still can't figure out half the damn lyrics.
Yeah, but, neither can I. I was like, what am I saying, man?
But I hear people, and everybody has their own way of singing whatever their favorite song is, and they add things that aren't in there and stuff like that. I hear a lot of people sing, I like cold beverages. And making it plural. Right.
No, I like cold beverage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew it.
That's what I thought. You were right. Yeah.
I knew it.
Damn it. I've been singing it wrong forever.
Thank you.
I mean, who would say that? I like cold beverages.
I like more than one of them.
I like cold beverage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Coors Light liked it too. You got the Coors Light. That was on for a while.
You did that spot. Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, man. Whoever wants to pay the bills, baby. I'm ready to go. Come on. Awesome. Hey, you know what? I was a street musician beforehand, so yeah.
You were playing for money that way. I remember I heard an interview with Joan Jett one time, and she said she held on to I Love Rock and Roll, and she wouldn't whore it out and so on and so forth. And she says not one time has anyone come up to her and said, yeah, way to go. Yeah,
I know, right?
She said she missed decades of selling that thing out the yin-yang.
Right.
Yeah.
As much money as you can.
There was this good story about George Thorogood was in the studio in Philly, and he was recutting Bad to the Bone for like a car commercial.
Milk to the bone?
Yeah. Ford to the bone. And they're like, yeah, can you change more energy or whatever? He says, just decide what you want so I can get my bleeping money and get the poop out of here. Yeah, it's like, all right. Because I'm bad.
Hang on a second. Wait a minute. Let me see this.
Yeah, because I don't know if I buy this.
I know.
Let me go to Kelly. Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's up, Kelly?
I was just reading OMG's forum this morning that he did the jingle for the freecreditreport.com.
No, I didn't. I did not.
Okay.
But it sounds like I did, right? This guy's bit my style. Yeah, well, that's pretty good. I think that's a pretty good song, though.
I love it.
The free credit.
We'll catch each other singing
free
it down the hall.
Freecreditreport.com.
Oh, my God. That's too classic.
In a restaurant.
So if you want G to play at your wedding and sing that song, it's going to cost
you. I like low premiums.
Yeah, I can custom change any of the lyrics.
Dude, it's been great seeing you.
Yo, yeah, thanks for having me out.
Our pleasure. Anytime. G Love, ladies and gentlemen.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
And the Bizarre File is brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anyone else?
Police say a tuxedo-clad Western New York man was drunk when he took a riding lawnmower out for an early morning spin. He was wearing a tuxedo.
All right.
Deputies got a report of an intoxicated person at a home around 1 a.m. When they arrived, the man was spotted riding away on his mower. Deputies who stopped the resident charged him with felony driving while intoxicated.
And felony being overdressed.
And aggravated unlicensed operation. They say the charge is felony because the man had a previous DWI conviction. They do not know why he was wearing a tuxedo.
It was the big lawnmower's ball.
But he was. A psychiatric assessment has been ordered for a homeless man who dropped his pants in a Halifax courtroom Friday and invited the judge to perform oral sex on him.
Wow, he really knows how to work the court.
Joel David Arsenault,
would you repeat that?
Was being arraigned before Judge Barbara Beach on two charges of breaching. two charges of breaching probation or court orders when he let his pants fall to the floor displaying his
Oops.
Underwear. Sheriff's deputies hustled Mr. Arsenault out of the courtroom. As they were taking him downstairs to the holding cells, they received word that Judge Beach was prepared to proceed with the arraignment as long as the defendant was willing to keep his pants up. The judge adjourned the case until Monday and remanded Mr. Arsenault to the correctional facility for the weekend. Before he left court for the second time, Mr. Arsenault asked a clerk if she wanted to see his genitals, and that earned him another quick escort out of the courtroom. And on Monday, a doctor who visited with Mr. Arsenault...
Don't just stare at it. Eat it.
...in the cells recommended a psychiatric assessment of his mental fitness and criminal responsibility. He has over 20 convictions...
20 convictions!
...since 2005.
Wow. He really wants someone to play with his pee-pee.
Two golfers yesterday watched open-mouthed as a speedboat flew 100 feet through the air in front of them and landed in a greenside bunker.
Awesome!
They're playing golf.
Oh, my God.
And it just came up and landed in the bunker. French tourists Claude Beath and Catherine Gillette were playing...
What the F was that?
...were playing the sixth...
The old...
...at the famous Lac Lamont course when the boat hurtled out of the water and took off. Claude said it clipped the sand and flew about 30 yards through the air.
And it was awesome!
The boat seemed to go in slow motion and come to a halt in a bunker. The motor kept on going, but it was stuck. The boat's driver managed to jump to safety before it hit the shore. Claude said that there was no one on board, which made it all look very strange. We could see the owner about 100 yards into the water and he made his way to shore. He was fine, but he seemed slightly in shock. The source said that apparently the guy hit a kind of double wave, which virtually threw him out of the boat.
Wow.
And the boat kept going and just hit the shore and shot 100 feet up and landed in the greenside bunker.
Oh, I wish there was video.
That would be awesome. A woman woke up to a real-life nightmare when she discovered the naked man who slipped into her bed in the middle of the night was a thief and not her husband. The 36-year-old Malaysian woman was asleep. When the thief, noticing that her husband was fast asleep on the couch, quietly stripped off and laid down beside her.
Oh, that's so sweet.
The dozing woman's suspicions were raised when she spoke to him and his voice sounded strange. She then went to another room and found her husband fast asleep on the couch, and that's when she screamed, causing the thief to flee by leaping out the window with the stolen items, and they are still looking for him. And finally, a New York man is suing JetBlue Airways for $2 million after he says he was forced to spend most of a five-hour flight in the bathroom of the plane.
What?
Yeah, this is bizarre.
Gokhan Mutlu said that when he arrived to check in for the JetBlue flight from San Diego to New York in February, he was told that the flight was full. However, he was allowed to fly when a flight attendant agreed to give up her seat to use the employee jump seat instead. But
how are you doing back there, Kokan Mutlu?
But
are you making a boo?
But Mutlu
on JetBlue.
JetBlue, make a boo with Jagan Mutlu.
Coco Mutlu. Alleges that about 90 minutes into the flight, the pilot told him the flight...
Why don't you go disabling that fire alarm, right?
The flight...
Off the plane. The flight... People sit on that toilet for another 3 hours.
The flight attendant was uncomfortable and...
Make your hiney blue.
And that Mutlu... and that Mutlu would have to give up a seat and, quote, hang out in the bathroom for the rest of the flight. The lawsuit charges that when Mutlu volunteered to sit in the jump seat, he was told that it was reserved for airline personnel only and that the captain got angry at Mutlu's reluctance to sit in the bathroom.
Somebody has any extra pretzels, would you slip them under the door? Mutlu taking a poo-poo.
Saying that he should have been grateful for being on board. In addition to the extreme humiliation Mutlu says he suffered, the lawsuit also details his quote saying tremendous fear when the airplane experienced turbulence.
Well, they make you get out of the bathroom. You can't be in the bathroom during a flight. You can't just sit there.
Well, he was sitting on the toilet seat, so he's trying to sue. And there you go. Mutlu is going to sue JetBlue. And that is what I have in the bizarre file. Ooh, ooh.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Muse. Disturbed. There's nothing left inside. There's still a reason to fight. The Raconteurs.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
I'm 93.3 WMMR.
you know, we have a lot of lovely ladies that work here. Two of the loveliest are here in our studio this morning. And we've known about the fact that they've had a fear. We've known about this for a few years, haven't we?
Yeah, well, yeah. But actually, the two stories sort of gelled, you know, recently. And we found out that they both have a fear of little people, of midgets. I don't know what the PC term is, so I'm going to go with that.
It's little people,
little
I
people.
Think.
Okay. And it just stunned us because in both cases, both very attractive, very intelligent women.
Yes.
Who just for this reason, and we're not talking simply like, I'm a little thrown off by it. There is a fear, a legitimate fear.
Yeah, we have Nikki and Devin who are here.
I hate you guys.
Devin, come on. Devin was started off originally as our intern here at MMR, and Nikki works in several different positions here.
Does everything here.
At the radio station. She's definitely a utility person. But Devin, what's the deal with dwarves?
I don't really know.
Little
I've
people.
Always had this anxiety whenever I see one.
How do you feel?
I'm all nervous right now. I'm shaking, and I feel like I'm in second grade, and I'm about to read in front of the class, and I'm really nervous. I don't know. I just have that feeling.
It's weird because for me, it's the exact opposite. I'm always fascinated. And I think it's amazing. Like when you see what they're able to achieve, and it's like, you know, and when you see guys who are able to operate in a world that's designed for much bigger people and excelling. So I'm like, wow, that's cool. You, on the other hand, crap yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't it stem from your mom? Didn't you tell me something about your mom?
Yeah, when my mom was pregnant with me, she was watching this show on midgets, and she never told me this until I came out with this fear, but she just was always afraid she was going to have a midget. So
to give birth to
a dwarf? Birth, yeah, to okay. A midget. All right. So it's like I was born with this fear, and when I told her I had a fear, she told me about
it. Why would your mother tell you that?
I don't know, but she thinks it transferred into me.
There was a little person growing up who was a friend of mine who was like the coolest guy. And you know, I've always found that to be like really high on life and very cool, you know, but for some reason your fear is at some point you could become a midget.
Well, you played the Willy Wonka music. Yeah. I hate that movie, and I hate the Wizard of Oz. I cannot watch them. Oh my god.
That's
I hate both of them.
She's visibly shaken. By the way, we have the webcam on WMMR.com if you want to take a look. Now, Nikki, what about you? What level of fear do you have?
They just make me so nervous. I don't know the proportion. It's like your chest clenches up. I don't know what it is.
If you happen to see someone, a little person walking around, if they happen to be near you, do you make sure that you get away or
quickly?
Really?
Yeah.
You'll actually start walking faster if you're on a street.
And the other direction.
And that just,
it's like one of those things. I feel bad that I'm scared of them because it's not their fault.
No. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I feel guilty, but then I'm also, you know.
But it's an honest, you're not making it, it's an honest fear. Honestly the way you feel. And you feel, which is very cool when you came in today, that you feel a little embarrassed that this is the way you feel. But when you get to know Nikki, who's the coolest person, you know, around.
Totally.
It takes a very little while before you find out she's terrified of the wee folk.
Now, did Willy Wonka have something to do with it? Did seeing the Oompa Loompas scar you as a child or no?
I don't know what it is.
No?
I've always kind of had this fear. And
wow.
I think it's like escalated like as the years have gone on, which I would think it would, have deteriorated.
Is it because you haven't spent enough time with the wee folk?
Maybe
you haven't gotten to know one on a deeper level? Maybe sexually?
Because I have some videos I could send to you.
Sure. Dude, yes. Are you kidding me? Kathy, there's a whole subculture of midget porn. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Bridget the Midget.
Bridget the Midget. But it's just amazing that two gorgeous women here live in fear of this. And it's something we can understand. And we want to help. So, you know, that's why we asked you to come in. A round of applause for being brave enough to come in here.
So, here, we're going to bring you face-to-face with somebody
of
right now.
Or
face-to-crotch.
But we want you to have an open mind because this is like one of the coolest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah, his name is Chuck, and here's what we're going to do. Devin, move over there to that mic because you're going to bring him through the door here. So we'll move you down this way, and why don't we go ahead? You can look over the door, open the door, and Chucky, come on out and say hi to these ladies here when you get a chance. To tell you to tell you what just happened.
That could have worked out better.
Let me tell you what just happened. The entire time, we had Chucky hiding underneath the desk here that Kathy sits at, right where the girls were standing. I had them look over to the door, and Chucky came out from underneath and grabbed their legs. Did you see the look on their faces?
They both crapped a puppy.
They're holding each other's hands right now.
Yes, they are.
And Nikki had an idea, because when she walked in, she looked down there. And so I was like, she knows. But she still jumped out of her
I'm the most gullible person in the world. So even if I would have seen that, I still would have been scared.
Hey, Chucky, let's get the mic down to Chucky. Did you encounter people who like have this kind of fear?
Every once in a while. But I don't know why. I have no idea.
I think a lot of it is a lot of people have never, like, known or talked to or hung out with.
It's just scared of something different.
Yeah. Do you think that, I mean, guys, as you're seeing Chucky talking and everything, have you ever, like, hung around a little person?
No. I'd run away.
Devin's mad.
Nikki?
I've been in situations, like, at parties where there have been midgets, and... like, after a while, I can kind of get acclimated in the room if I'm far away.
If you're far away.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, I just... and I feel so bad. Like, I feel so bad that...
No problem.
Oh, my God. She looks like she might cry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Chuck, has anyone ever explained to you why they...
No one ever knows why. I always asked, was there a midget clown or what?
You never think it is? I think throughout, like, history or, like, in literature... like, a lot of times, the demonic little creatures are depicted as, like, small.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a part of it?
And they look scary.
Yeah.
They always seem like they look scary.
Because, Chucky was out at the Fat Tuesday celebration. We had the makeout contest.
Yes, midget makeout.
You rocked. I was watching the footage. It's awesome. But it's just amazing that people are... I mean, because look at them. They're
on the far side of the studio.
I'm still thinking about him popping out. It reminds me of when the little toad guy come in Christmas Story when he comes out of the dumpster.
Are either one of you afraid of clowns?
Yes, my mom is too.
There you go.
Inherited.
What's with your mom?
She's a freak.
What about you, Nikki?
Just kidding.
No, not afraid of clowns at all. But little people, more so men than women, or is it equal? Really, it's equal discrimination.
Do you mind if Chucky comes over in proximity, or is that
look
cool?
At their face.
I think I can get a hug?
Nikki really can't. No, but listen, you have to admire Nikki's candor on this fact, because she feels terrible about it. But and Chuck, you're not offended. You understand? Okay. So, no. but it is. We tried to get a therapist here to explain. Because you know what, Casey, you're exact. We were at Target the other day, and my wife saw a little person go by, and she started smiling because she knew I was going to be like, yeah.
But I mean, we're sitting here talking to Chucky. I mean, he's just a person.
He's a great guy.
How could you be? I don't understand how you could be afraid. You know what I mean? At least sitting here, you know, talking to him and seeing that he's just a normal person.
But Nikki, you don't understand either, right?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could. And this is a big step right here. This is huge.
It's like
and
a 20-foot step.
So we made...
we were hoping to get, Chucky to do a lap dance for you or something like that.
No. Devin said no lap dances.
Flat out no.
Oh, she called me last night. She was like, look, you don't have to tell me what's going on, but no lap dances.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Hang on. Let me go to Robin on the phones real quick. Hey, Robin, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. We're awesome.
Thank you. What's up, Robin?
I have been afraid that little people are going to bite me.
Little people are going to bite you.
Yes.
Where do you think you have that fear from?
I think because when I was growing up, I heard people say ankle biters.
Ankle biters. That might do it.
I've bitten my fair share of ankles, let me tell you.
I don't know. I,
I think line four might have a legitimate.
But is it a true condition? I mean, is this a lot of people have?
Probably.
I bet you, because look, it ties right into the clown thing. People who are afraid of clowns, also people who are afraid of ventriloquist dummies.
Me too. Or, I'm afraid of them too.
There you go.
There was a kid in my grade that looked like a ventriloquist doll.
Dude, how do you ever go to parties? Because you can't see a clown, you can't see a midget, and you can't see a ventriloquist.
How do you leave your house? You know what? You could never watch the Men Without Hats video.
That movie Chucky, Child's Play, no.
Freaks you the F out.
Always.
But you see, there's a perfect example of a smaller character that's evil.
Yeah.
Well, Case, she's worse than me.
Jesus.
By the way, Chuck is an awesome guy, and you can contact him through hirelittlepeople.com. He's come out to a few of our events and always a huge
always
hit.
On time, always does a great job. Yep. Works the crowd like nobody else.
But let me go to this call real quick. I have Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?
Good. You guys rock.
What's up, Ryan?
I'm just like Nikki. I feel really bad about it, but for some reason, I guess ever since I was a little kid and watching The Wizard of Oz and everything, I just feel really uncomfortable around the little people, and I don't know what it is.
That may be it. That image was socked in your mind early on. Chuck, do you find, are there women who are actually turned on by that?
Oh, there's a lot of women that are actually turned on. They're just curious to see.
Genitals, right?
Yeah.
Do you always get that question?
Yeah, I always get that question.
And genitalia-wise, you are?
I'm average for an adult person.
For an adult person, yes. Which actually would, in comparison, must make you look hung.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, Chucky.
Chuck, how tall are you, by the way, Chuck?
I'm 3'6".
3'6". He is tiny. He is a very small guy.
Gets around, goes around, and does this stuff at Fat Tuesday, man.
Oh, dude.
He rocked.
That last woman attacked you.
You must have dug that.
Oh, man. I got a bloody lip after that. And bruised my nose. I thought she broke it.
He was tearing up.
Let's just put it this way. He was wearing her as a face mask.
Hang on. Let me go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Lisa?
I totally understand girls, and I'm really sorry, Chuck. But
it's okay.
But what's the story? What is it? What's the basis?
I am afraid of little hands.
Little hands?
Little hands.
Okay.
The first thing I look at on guys. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from.
Do you think Devin's nodding? Is that part of it for you?
I've always looked at hands, too. A guy has little hands, like, creeps me out.
Really?
And I hate
And Nikki, would that
too.
Be true for you as well?
Yeah, I think it's, like, the proportion difference. Just, it's something, like, that's just nerve-wracking. Okay. I don't know what it is.
And it's weird, man. You can see that it sort of troubles you that it's the case because you don't... These guys are the nicest guys you're ever going to find.
They are... I mean, Devin... No offense, Nikki, but Devin is, like, the sweetest. And Nikki, you are really, really sweet, too, but, like, you're just a sweet person. So I know you don't want to, like, dislike somebody because of their appearance.
It's not on purpose.
But I do have a question for you because little people come in different varieties, you know, proportionally. Are there certain, you know, proportional little people that bug you or scare you more than the other?
The big head?
Yeah. I mean, Wee Man from Jackass, he doesn't creep me out.
Really?
Because I don't know. I don't
because
know.
Because he looks more...
Yeah, but have you seen him in person?
No.
He's tiny.
She's like, he doesn't scare me when he's on TV.
Right. Exactly. The safety of TV, it's fine.
Hang on, let me go to Christy. Hey, Christy, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what's up, Christy?
Well, my husband and my brother have already called me this morning listening to your show, laughing at me because I'm scared of midgets.
Well, you're not alone, apparently.
That's what I said. At least I'm not. At least I'm not the only one.
It seems to be more women.
Yes.
More women are afraid.
Yeah,
would you find that, Chuck?
Yeah.
Because guys don't seem to have a problem with it.
No.
Christy, have you ever hung out with a dwarf, a little person before?
No way.
There's
no
part
way.
Of the deal.
I'm telling you, I see them in the grocery store, in the store, and I'll cry. Run the other way and literally cry. It's that bad.
You know what you got to do? You got to watch that show, that Big World, Little People.
Little People, Big World.
Yeah.
That's a great show.
And it's do you watch it, Nikki?
I try to watch it, yeah.
And you couldn't even watch it?
I can't even watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Wow. The song gives me nightmares.
Creepy.
Wow. Well, there's a whole bunch of questions. One of the questions I have to ask Chuck, and we were talking about this last night, are there legitimate midget towns? Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard it, but I heard it's a rumor. I don't know. I've never been there.
We've never found, in all the years you've been asked to find, we've never found one goddamn midget town.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? I guess I can correlate this to, Steve, is maybe if you've if you're not familiar, if you haven't spent enough time with people who are a little bit different, it can be for some people a little bit strange. Like if you've ever met someone who is, you know, say like a paraplegic in a wheelchair, and you've never been around someone before like that, and their body looks a little bit different, it's a little strange, and you're not sure what to do. Do you go up and shake their hand? It feels weird, but is that not the thing to do?
But you know what? Think of all going back to the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
There's so much imagery that paints little people as freaky and evil.
Yeah.
As straight up evil.
But you talk about that, Preston, and our friend Billy, Special Ed.
No arms.
He's got no hands. So
I shake the stump.
You shake the stump like it's a hand.
The first time you did it, it was weird, right?
Well, I wasn't sure if he was going to be offended. What am I supposed to do? You know, and he's so cool about everything that I didn't really have a problem asking him, saying, am I just supposed to grab the stump and shake it?
Shake the stump. Go ahead.
Stump the yard, you know?
Stump the yard.
I don't know if we're at all helping Nikki and Devin.
No, we're not. Because,
honestly, look at them. Their body language is so tense. Their shoulders are all scrunched up, and they're still holding hands. And it's just, they can't wait to get the hell out of this studio. They need to leave right now. And
oh, my God, another little person!
it's just Marissa. It's just Marissa. It's okay.
Well, like, we tried to get a psychiatrist or psychologist in, you know, to kind of talk about it. And I couldn't, you know, I tried a couple of different places. And I thought maybe our friend Dave McGrogan would know somebody. No, there you go. No, listen.
He hangs out with the wee folk.
No, I text messaged him and said, do you have any friends that might be doctors and would want to talk about it? And he goes, well, I'm glad you didn't ask me to come in to be a little person.
Well, it's all the little leprechauns that hang out at Kildare's. Yeah, let me go to James, who has a fetish with little women. James, how you doing, man?
Good. How you guys doing, man? Durka, brother.
So, do you surf the websites?
No. You know what? You know where Columbus Flea Market is, right?
Yeah.
In Jersey?
Yeah.
You know, the Amish section, there used to be an Amish midget girl over there
that
would serve, like, pretzels and everything. It was just, like, a big turn-on because she was in her little Amish outfit. She was a midget. Always had a fantasy for an Amish midget girl.
Dude, that is such a precise fetish.
Yeah.
Not only does she have to be a little person, she's got to be an Amish midget person who knows how to make pretzels.
That's the most refined perversion
I've ever heard.
I love that.
I'm kind of with him, though, man.
Hang on. I'm giving you a case of Bud Light, goddamn. Hold on, James.
Keep it coming.
She's pure, you know, and she's a midget, and she serves pretzels.
Well, let's cut to the chase. Every guy thinks, wow, my junk is going to look enormous.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right? I mean, it's got to be it.
This little person that went to my pool, this lady, I was physically attracted to her. Proportionally.
Let me tell you.
She was fine. She had a great set of boobs. I was like, you know, and I just remember. I can picture them right now.
The girl who wants to marry the littlest groom.
Yeah.
Littlest groom.
The girl on that show that he ended up with,
I thought was hot. Yeah, all right. Well, you know what? We're going to have, if you want to meet Chuck, he's going to be at the Cardboard Classic.
Yep.
He's coming out, and the website is hirelittlepeople.com, which also you can go to iloveroadhead.com, which we'll put links up on PrestonSteve.com. I know you guys got to get going because they've got a couple things to get to, and Devin, you got to get to class or something, right?
Yeah, so, unfortunately.
I think
they need to give him a hug. I mean, come on, face your fears. Just a small hug.
It's not going to hurt. It's not
give him a hug.
Chucky's moving over.
All right.
Come on. All right, Devin's going to do it.
Oh. Nikki, give him a hug.
Nikki's trying.
Come on.
Nikki's trying.
I don't bite.
There it is. Nice job, Chuck.
By the way, through. Round of applause for Nikki and Devin.
Yeah.
And for Chuck.
I did not know that they were that nervous.
I told you,
about this. And Nikki looks scared. And Nikki's, she as beautiful as she is, she's a tough chick, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
she beat Casey in athletics.
I know, yeah, totally. All right, so Chuck, if people want to hire her, they can do it for parties, corporate events, all kinds of things.
Bachelorette parties, any kind of parties.
Cool, man. We'll send people on the way.
He knows how to do work the crowd, man. He's great.
Does. Hell yeah. Good to see you, man.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Chucky, my friend. Like I said.
For
50 plus years, MMR has owned the Stones. And now you can own the Stones with a free pair of tickets. Listen to Win Your Way In to see the Rolling Stones July 23rd in Philadelphia. Tune in at 8 a.m. when Preston and Steve reveal the winning Stone song of the day and the hour it will play. Listen for MMR to play it from a vinyl copy of Honk, their new greatest hits album. 25th caller picks up the record and two tickets to see the Rolling Stones. When we spin, you win. Only from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
The gentleman that is standing in our studio, would you think it would be fair to say, Steve, that he changed the way television shows? Was an innovator. I would say an innovator. Yeah.
I would say a legend.
Yep, I would have to say it.
Some quarters.
I was drinking. I want to apologize.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Springer.
Oh, please. Thank you. Go get up. Thank you.
This morning.
So you just did the traffic report here, and you didn't even, I was watching, you didn't even look out the window. You don't know. Make this stuff up.
That's the big scam is that she actually never looks.
No. I have it all here on my computer. I don't have to look out the window.
Yeah, okay. Listen, I was thinking about Jerry the other day because I was flipping through the channels and I came across...
What was I wearing?
It wasn't you. I was watching a movie and it's a really bad movie. Oh. It was Steven Seagal, Hard to Kill.
Oh.
And there's a scene where he wakes up from a coma. He's been out for a few years and he flips on the TV and the first thing he sees is the Geraldo show, Geraldo Rivera. Yeah. And it was the episode where the skinheads were on there. The famous episode.
Where he gets his nose up.
Where he gets his nose broken. And all this stuff gets thrown around and, you know, chairs and people are fighting and stuff like that. And I remember that being such a huge deal when that happened. Yeah. But it just turned into every day on the Jerry Springer show, you know? Yeah,
fight, Mike.
Yeah, totally.
Well, the thing is that you approach it, Jerry, with Geraldo was attempting to create the illusion that he was being serious with that. You just use reckless abandon and have fun. And I love that. The show is a train wreck that you cannot help but watch.
It's stupid.
but it's a nice job.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You kind of throw open the net there. If you want to come down and do the show and expose this about yourself, then do it. All you're doing is providing a platform.
Yeah.
Are you still, at this point in the television's history, amazed that people will come in and expose this stuff about themselves?
I'm probably not amazed anymore.
Okay.
Just because everybody, you know, it's just done so much, and you read the newspapers every day. And,
right, yeah.
You know, 17 years ago when we started, it was shocking. Now it just seems a day in the park. I mean, just check today's headlines. You'll find everything you find on our show.
17 years ago.
We're starting to get the children of our original guests on.
Oh, no way. They're procreating.
And they weren't supposed to. They were told no procreating on our show. And
so you beg them, but they don't listen.
So we have a new generation of guests.
Oh, man.
I got to say, because every time I go to a sporting event, some sort of fight will break out, and I actually will get a little scared. Now, I don't know why. I'm like, oh, my God, there's a fight going on over there.
Yeah.
Are you still in that phase?
Yeah, no, because I'm pretty much of a wimp. I'm never up on stage. I always kind of stay in the back.
No, and invariably it's a midget and some really fat lady fighting. Yeah. So it's not the kind of fight you couldn't take. So
I think one of the most endearing things about you, Jerry, is that you're just so willing to make fun of yourself and have fun with it with everything that the show is. And two examples that come to mind immediately are Austin Powers and The Simpsons.
Oh yeah.
And when you did The Simpsons episode, the aliens are killing each other and they're beaming everybody in the audience, and then the quick cut. To Jerry's final thought. And then you're just talking about, you know, what had happened. Did you have fun doing those? And you like doing that kind of stuff outside of the show?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the best part about the job. You get to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Of course, when you do The Simpsons, and I don't know if it's like that with everyone who does it, but you're in a booth, and I didn't know what the rest of the script was.
You had no idea.
So you just do lines, you know, in a vacuum, having no idea what the storyline is. Not knowing what I'm responding to when I'm saying this stuff.
Right.
So they just had me read some lines, and then they put it in there, and they did a real good job.
Well, I pop on the show all the time because I can record. We grab sound bites from the show
all
the time.
Have you sought help?
I mean, are there any one particular, at least a cluster, that stand out to you as being the moment where you said, oh, my God, this is, it's just completely gone to hell?
Well, we had the guy who married his horse. I came out against it. I thought that was wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway, we did a follow-up show, and the horse left him.
The horse left him.
Yeah, he was apparently hung like a man. Actually, it was. We did, most markets thankfully didn't run it.
Really?
They didn't.
Because that really was over the top.
A little over the top.
But the horse was so judgmental.
He can't have that in a horse.
Well, we got to see a different. Different side of you. I think on Dancing with the Stars. Mm. I love the show, but I loved you on that show, and I would pick up the phone every night and vote for you because I wanted you to dance that dance for your daughter, and you did. And oh my God, I think I cried. I cried when you did that. What was it? What was the dance?
It was the waltz. And we danced at Katie's wedding. And what was kind of neat about it is, you know, Katie was wearing, you know, this beautiful wedding gown. And in the middle of the dance, she looks up at me and she says, "Dad, they can't see our feet because the dress covers our feet." Which was right. So I took those lessons for nothing.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to?
No. You could have done anything.
You could have been on a...
This is so weird. They can't see our feet. So we just stood there and bounced back and forth.
You could have been on a rolling office chair.
But you were great on that show. You really were. Who was your partner? Was it Kim Johnson?
Kim Johnson.
You love her.
Dirty old man.
Don't you for one friggin' second say you weren't thinking the same stuff. She's gorgeous.
Yes, she's beautiful. She's a lovely lady. You know, she really is. She's younger than my daughter.
Spectacular, man. Just absolutely. Yeah. Are you going back?
In fact, she asked about you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So they have, obviously, a new season coming out. They announced the lineup. Will you come back in? I mean, do they have people from past seasons?
Yeah, everyone. Not dancing, but they have us back sitting in the audience or doing some interviews.
Can I come with
you?
Jerry's digging Kathy big time.
Okay.
I'll show you a waltz. You come today.
Yes.
All right, Daddy. As long as you take me to Dancing with the Stars.
Can you do a little quick waltz here?
I don't know the waltz.
Come on. In fact, I'm going to be giving dancing lessons on radio.
Well, there you go.
On radio.
She danced with Joey McIntyre. He did it.
Oh.
What? Yeah. That wasn't your season, right?
No. It wasn't my season, but I was with him because in the off season of the show, they do a tour.
Yeah.
You know, at and I went on the tour with him to, I don't know, about 7-8 cities, and he was on that.
Okay. You didn't come to Philadelphia in the tour, did you?
No.
Yeah, because I went to see it. I don't remember being there.
It's amazing.
Are you stalking me?
Yeah.
I do love you, Jerry. Yeah.
Really? Well, what's this?
It's a wedding ring, Jerry.
Me too. Don't you get a day off?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Once a year.
I think he could broker this deal.
Yeah,
I was reading that Harvey Keitel is playing you in the Jerry Springer musical.
Yeah, the opera.
What? Really?
Yeah. There's a real opera.
It was a hit, right?
Yeah. Well, in England, it won the Golden Globe. No, not the Golden Globe. The
Tony?
Olivier Award.
Okay, which is their Tony. Okay.
And it's a real serious opera, and they do a great job with it. Now they brought it to the States and played at Carnegie Hall. Yeah, Harvey Keitel plays me.
Did you get to see it?
I saw it in England, and Harvey Keitel came out to Chicago to watch us do the show so he could pick up mannerisms or whatever. He's a cool guy.
Was he trying to pull off an impersonation of you?
Oh, really? I mean, really, he wanted to know what watch I wore, what cigar I smoked, and, you know, he really doesn't.
Is that wild that one of the legendary actors in the world is playing you and
it's
asking
a
you for
ender
tips?
For him. Good Lord, can't you get work? What are you doing playing me?
Now you have I thought we were going to have Todd come in with you as well. He's kind of your is he your head of security or
yes? Jimmy's here, who's the head of security. Todd is he does editing for us, but he's also the
producer,
crowd
production assistant,
the warm up guy.
Well, no, I do my own warm ups.
Your intern?
The fluffer?
No, he's really. Gosh, what is it? The floor manager.
Floor director.
That's what he is. All this television stuff. And he's waving his arms, going, Jerry. No, he's a great guy. Yeah, he's on the trip, but he's not here this morning because, you know, it's not yet noon.
he doesn't keep those early hours. Are you the producer, or are you behind it all, Steve Wilkos' show?
Yes, I'm one of the producers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's a serious show. They do it seriously. And
were you the one that came up with the idea? Who came up with the idea for having him spin off on his own show?
Well, the company probably did.
Okay.
And I think that's normally done. I mean, you know, they're spinoffs of all shows that have been on television for some time.
Right.
You tend to do that. And he's very good.
Does the Jerry chant still break out spontaneously as you're just out and about?
Well, we give him drugs.
Why? He just dispenses drugs.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you go to like a sporting event, if you go to like a sporting event or something like that.
Oh, it's always, yes. Yeah. It's constant. I mean, you walk through an airport and it's, in fact, I have Jerry attached to my alarm clock. So when I get up in the morning,
you hear that.
In fact,
I think we have the clip actually.
Would you record it?
So sure, I'll record it.
And you just so I can get up in the morning, Jerry.
It's
go
ahead. Me, Kathy.
This is, yeah. Oh, wait, yeah, here.
There you go.
I love though that after an episode where a dude will marry his horse, you'll say you'll have your Jerry moment, which is we all need to learn to love each other, whether you're a horse or a cow, and you try to make sense out of this insanity.
Well, you know, ride your horse, don't marry. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, we got our own chance
to ride horses.
Dick away, dick away, dick away.
That's for me. Nick, that on my alarm clock.
Yeah, dick away. So do people need to just send in their stories to you guys, Jerry, about
you guys solicit, right?
Don't send
life?
It in. I don't need to hear this stuff. God's sakes. Why are you always sending me? Why do they send me their problems?
Yeah.
I have enough problems. No, they, yes, all we get thousands of calls, you know, within a week, a month of people who want to be on the show.
Yeah.
And as long as it's outrageous, because on a serious note, we're not allowed to do a show on anything that's not outrageous. In other words, if you call us with a warm, uplifting story, NBC Universal, we're required to send it to another show.
So really?
They won't run it. We could do the show, but they won't run it.
Right.
We're only allowed to do outrageous behavior or outrageous guests.
Wow.
So,
and what point, because when the show started out, it was originally sort of a regular, straight-up talk show. I mean,
a normal, boring show.
About two and a half years.
We never made the decision to go crazy. We made the decision to go young.
Yeah.
Because all the shows at that time, there were about 20 talk shows.
God.
And everyone was trying to be like Oprah
and go
after what the demographic was, middle-aged housewives. That's
right.
What the demographic was. But then Ricky Lake came along. And really, she was the first one first talk show to go after the kids. When I say the kids, college age, high school. And so we just made the decision, why be one out of 20 going after Oprah's audience?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be one out of two and go after Ricky Lake.
It's a genius move.
Because you're right. There was a time where it was, you know, Jenny Jones and Sally Jesse Raphael and you and Ricky Lake and, you know, they just started
popping
up.
You couldn't be an American citizen if you didn't have a show.
Right. It seemed that way for a while.
The chick from 90210 had Gabrielle.
Oh, you're right. That was a little bit later,
Really, there were 20 on at one time. And then we went after Ricky's audience, so we started to have young guests, young people in the audience, young subject matter. Well, young people are wilder, and they're much more open about their lives. And that's when the show went crazy, and that's when Universal said only crazy.
Where do you film your shows at?
In Chicago.
In Chicago. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought, because I had friends. I had to have been.
You have no friends.
No. Stop it. Guys that
just
I know. And
stop it.
Guys I went to college with, and you would mention the college crowd, but they made the road trip up to New York, and I guess it was Montel, with the sole goal of just getting on the show. They didn't care who they were going to be yelling at from the crowd, but,
Montel's not a yelling show, though.
No. No, they yelled. You know, my friend, they call him the Beast. He was on it.
And he gets out in, six more months?
Yeah.
Jerry, do you remember the first fight that happened on the show that kind of, you know,
set
made everything
tone?
Swayed that way?
The first time there was a fight, it was some show having to do with the Klan. And we honestly, we didn't have security because whoever thought that there'd be a fight on a talk show.
Yeah.
And we honestly thought that was it. Show's over. We're going to be arrested because there was a riot.
Right.
And it went on for about 15 minutes.
Wow.
And there was no one to break up the fights. The audience got in it. It was just total chaos. We thought we'd been canceled.
Yeah.
The show's over. We're going to prison. Everything. And But that was the first fight. From then on, we had security.
And they're all like Chicago cops, are they not? Nice. Yes. Steve Wilco was a Chicago cop, right?
Yeah, they're all Chicago cops. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you still get criticism from people like the PTC or you know, people that or just people used to Jerry Springer and then, you know, they've accepted it at this point?
We don't get criticism.
Yeah. But isn't it amazing that after a while they just give up?
Well, we beat Western civilization. We tore them. And now we're going to try to give Eastern civilization a shot.
Sure. Yeah. You know what? Whenever I go or stay at a hotel, I always will get, and I don't know why it's become a ritual, but the Jerry Springer Uncensored on it's always an awesome thing to check
you're
out.
You're one of those guys that get those cable. You go into the hotels and you get those. You watch for 2.5 minutes.
No.
Every movie you watch is 2.5 minutes.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
I know. I need this taken off the bill. I didn't know I hit the wrong. Yeah. I didn't know I hit the button.
Steve, though, I remember when that came out. That was like such a big thing to get.
I freaking love it.
Yeah, we all got it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Of course I did.
So how did I look?
You look hot.
Yeah.
Jerry, are you going back into politics?
I may one day. Yeah. Okay. You know, I think about it all the time, but, you know, I might. It's possible.
Well, you've had the show 17 years. Yeah. Do you have to work on renegotiations every season, or do you have a multi-year deal laid out?
Yeah, just mutual agreement. We just do it year to year. At some point, I'll say that's enough.
You'll hang it up,
But the show could go forever just because it's got a niche. And there'll always be new high school kids, new college kids that are, you know, suddenly old enough to watch it.
It can't exist without you. I think you are the ultimate paradox there, because you're there in the suit, seemingly a conventional voice of reason in this insanity. Without you, that show would not work.
Anyone, I don't do anything. What do? All I do is I stand there and I say, "You did what? Come on out. We'll be right back."
That's what sells it.
That's how I got the job. Yeah. I was sitting at home one day and I read that they're starting the Jerry Springer show, and I'm saying to myself, "That's my name. Why don't I give
Why
it a
don't
shot?
I just do it?"
So I go down and they say, "You're gay." That would make him gay.
That we play that clip all the time.
Yeah,
I got to play this clip because it is from Austin Powers. Was it the second movie?
Yeah, number two.
This scene was just awesome.
Dr. Evil, we've seen fathers here today open up to their sons to their fathers. Is there anything you want to share with us?
Share? I'm the head of an evil organization. I don't share, okay, you freaking idiot.
I love that. That whole exchange is just...
Yeah, and then we're wrestling, and he says, "He's biting me."
Have there been other movies that Jerry Springer Show has popped up in, or is that...
There was the movie based on your show with...
Ringmaster.
Jamie Presley, right? Was in that?
Yes, she was. Yeah,
that must have been a thrill working with her.
Yeah. And I had lines, too.
Yeah. Any movie work for Kathy that you could arrange?
Hi. Let's do a movie together.
There's a video.
Is that a movie?
Yeah. Sure. Consider that cinematic, yeah.
What did you do on Days of Our Lives?
I played a Vegas gambler.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a lot
of
fun.
So you weren't Jerry Springer?
No,
he was Pete.
Yeah. I've been in a bunch of movies, but I'm, you know, I don't know how to act. So.
Just throw your lines and you do your thing.
But they give you a van outside, you know, where you can...
They give you your own van.
When you're in a movie, that's awesome. It's great. When there's food in there.
How's the singing going? Because I know you had an album out.
Thanks a lot. Well, you know, I had a CD out, and you know, the best reason to get the CD, you know how sometimes you have a wobbly table in the kitchen? Well, if you take my CD and post it under the shortest leg, it stabilizes.
It stabilized.
So we sold them for that
purpose. It was a country music album, wasn't it?
It was country music.
Okay.
God.
And that did the country in. That was the last thing that ever happened to that country.
Now, last year you were hosting America's Got Talent.
Yes, I'm doing it again this season.
You are going to do it again this season.
And in fact, next week I go to Atlanta and we start the auditions. It'll start airing in July.
Bianca Ryan, the gal who won, is from here.
That was first season.
Right.
You were
first
not
season. Season one. Yeah, yeah, just was the... was the MC, the host of that season. And then I did last season, and Terry Fader, the ventriloquist, won.
And we heard that Hasselhoff actually literally makes people refer to him now as the Hoff. Is that correct?
But he's a nice guy.
You have to refer to him as the Hoff.
Yeah, but he calls me, you know, I have to be called the Springs.
Right? Okay, all right.
That's mutual.
Great. Turning Back's fair play.
You're in town today, obviously, promoting the Jerry Springer Show.
Apologize.
Which you can see on PHL 17, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. You're going to hang out in Philly for the day and then head out, or?
Later. Well, actually, this afternoon, I'm speaking at Kent State in Ohio. So
are you really?
Yeah, I'll be flying out soon.
You were at Westchester last night, and that's where Kathy went to college.
You could have stayed in my dorm room.
Yeah, or you could just sleep over our house tonight.
Don't go to Ohio.
Does your husband travel?
No, unfortunately not.
Well, Kent State's available tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, awesome. Well, Jerry, we appreciate you taking time to come
by
here.
You guys are great.
You're fantastic, and thank you so much.
It.
And continued 17 years, man.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, Jerry. Jerry Springer, Dad.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
And the Bizarre File is brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins, Delaware Diamonds.
In Alaska, a teenage girl riding in an all-night mountain bike race was badly injured early Sunday morning when a bear attacked her on a trail.
Jeez.
Officers were shot. Police officers with shotguns escorted Woods to retrieve the girl who underwent surgery. She's expected to survive. Authorities wouldn't discuss the nature of her injuries except to say they were extensive. In fact, one of the EMS supervisors on the scene said in his 24 years of doing this, these were the most extensive traumatic injuries.
What kind of bear was it? Like a Kodiak bear?
The bear was a grizzly.
A grizzly.
Yeah. Peter Basinger, a cyclist competing in the race, encountered the injured girl on the trail. The girl mumbled the word bear but was unable to say any more.
She said bear.
And they took her away. So
the guy's listening. What was it? Bear. What?
She said bear. I'm right behind you. Everyone falls for that. It cracks me up. You injure someone to the point of death, but just so much that they have to whisper. Then the person slows down and says, "What did this to you?" They invariably say bear. But they say it so softly that you lean in and now your neck is exposed to me standing behind you who then says, "She said a bear." And if I had a dollar for every time one of you dicks fell for that, I wouldn't be a bear.
So she's in the hospital. Move on to the next story. In Florida, a drowning 375-pound bear was rescued.
Did you see the picture of this?
Was rescued from the Gulf of Mexico, yes, after fleeing from a neighborhood into the surf.
Every time I get hungry, I pretend I'm drowning, and then some jackass comes in and performs mouth-to-mouth on a bear.
Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission biologists said the large bear
was pretending
was spotted in a neighborhood over the weekend.
Bears can swim.
The bear. Now, here's the deal. The bear was hit with a tranquilizer dart. You're crazy, man.
You're crazy, man. Look at that. Look at my paw.
The bear.
Rainbow colors, man.
The bear was hit with a tranquilizer dart, but managed to escape and bolt into the Gulf of Mexico before
Bolt, relatively speaking.
Before he was sedated, as the tranquilizer drugs took effect, the bear began to drown. That began to drown in the Gulf. However, biologist Adam Warwick jumped in to keep the bear from drowning. He managed to get the bear to shore.
The bear was like 375 pounds.
Yeah,
and he was performing like a regular lifeguard would.
Arm around the neck.
Swimming the bear to shore.
Yep, and he had like the bear on his back, and he was doing the backstroke. And then... Once he got the bear to the shore, a backhoe operator helped
him. I tore his ass out. What were you thinking?
You're a bear.
I'm a bear.
And then a backhoe operator helped load the animal to a truck. The bear was relocated to Oskello National Forest near Lake City. So he's going to be able to gallivant in the woods again.
Which is what bears do.
That's what they do.
Gallivant.
How about this? A 17-year-old plunged his car off the summit of Pike's Peak.
Whoa. To avoid hitting a bear?
No. There were no... Jumped out and scared him. No.
I'm just kidding.
Pike's Peak.
You were just playing around. Yeah.
And, authority,
just messing with you.
And what authority said appeared to be a suicide attempt.
Wow.
Now he survived.
Oh, well, that would be a pretty much guaranteed suicide.
Well, he survived.
I know.
What? 1,000-foot fall. Pike's Peak is massive.
Yeah.
The teens.
Isn't Pike's Peak the Close Encounters?
No, that's Devil's Tower. No, yeah. This is a lot bigger than that. The teens...
There's Birch Cyst, Pike's Peak,
and Devil's Tower.
And LaWanda's vagina.
That's
the
Canyon.
Hello! The teens...
LaWanda's vagina!
The teens...
What'd you say?
Preston describes himself.
Oh, God. The teens.
Oh, man, I can mix the bear. Well, let me try it.
Can I do that?
Yeah, you can mix
it. That sort of works. Awesome. Bear in the vagina valley. Oh, wow.
The teens.
Should I go for three? Bear on phone in vagina valley?
Yeah, try it.
Yes, I'm looking to order a pizza. I'm hungry. I don't know where I am, but it looks like a vagina. A big, stone vagina.
I can't believe that worked.
Hey, Mix, I didn't even know you could do that.
You got any other ones?
Try all four.
All right.
That's the high pitch.
Tiny one. Bear. Yeah. On the phone.
How does this work?
Here we go.
Yeah.
Am I?
I'm a bear, but I never quite grew.
And I'm hungry, and I'm in a vagina.
And so on, and so on.
Sounds like eight people talking at the same time. Anyway, back to this kid who tried to kill himself.
Oh, yeah.
The teen's Nissan.
Oh, yeah, that's sad.
That Nissan Maxima plunged more than 1,000 feet down the ravine strewn with boulders and scree. What is scree?
It's a loose rock.
Yeah.
Okay. With scree, he pulled himself from the wreckage.
Now it's scree.
But it took hours for the local rescuers and military helicopters to make the daring rescue. He was taken to a hospital in Colorado Springs in stable condition. Witnesses in the parking lot saw the teen's car plunge off the north side of the parking lot at about 1:15 p.m.
Why did you do this?
Police said the incident was a suicide.
He said because of a bear.
A what?
A bear. Turn around.
Oh, my God.
Can the promo be 5 minutes long?
An all-bear bizarre file.
Bears are intrinsically funny.
Dude, we ran out of music.
I know. It's first time I think that may have happened.
Oh, my God.
Police say the incident was a suicide attempt stemming from a relationship between the boy and his girlfriend.
What he said that had
recently and recently ended.
Turn around. Bright eyes.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. Papa Roach.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Steve, what's going on?
Well, Nick Hogan's lawyers yesterday filed a motion to have the Hulkster's son removed from prison and put under house arrest until he turns 18 on July 27th. Terry Nick reportedly asked his lawyers, quote, how long does it take for your anus to shrink?
Oh,
damn. Prison is not going well for Nick Hogan. Kelsey Grammer reportedly suffered a mild heart attack while vacationing with his family at their home in Hawaii. Sadly for Grammer, the attack occurred during a luau, leaving most to believe that he was simply doing a hula dance.
Oh, my God.
As of yesterday, the offer for exclusive shots of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's soon-to-be-born twins up to $15 million, thanks to an offer from OK Magazine. Sources close to the couple say that they countered with a request for $20 million, with the additional $5 million guaranteeing that OK Magazine will own one of the children.
No. So,
that's a good deal. And finally, this is really sad. Tatum O'Neal was arraigned yesterday in a Manhattan criminal court on charges of possessing both crack and regular cocaine during a bus Sunday night. O'Neal says she was not using the drugs and was simply doing research for a movie role that has yet to be written or offered to her. And that's your Hollywood Track.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. Our next guest in the studio is he's awesome. That's all I can say. One of the longest running cast members on Saturday Night Live. 10 seasons.
Yes.
A number of
some of my favorite skits.
Great films. Mean Girls, Benchwarmers, most recently Semi-Pro, mm-hmm. Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story, is now on the Bill Engvall Show, also known as the ladies' man from time to time. And the first guest I think I've ever seen to actually adjust the lighting.
Yes, he knows what he's doing.
Please welcome Tim Meadows.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, what's happening there? Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you. You know, I saw the lighting as soon as I walked in, and I was like, this has got to be fixed. I am not going to be sitting here in the dark.
Yeah. You're a professional.
We have our webcam on you right now, too, so it needs to be a flattering light.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I want my image to go out there. I want it to look good for my people.
That's what it's all about.
And you know what? Yeah. Did you notice when Tim came walking in, he had a little video camera with him? Is that you were taking video, I believe?
Yeah.
As you were meeting each one of us?
Yeah. I'm putting together a video for my kids because they really don't understand like why daddy leaves for such long periods of time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just say, you know, these are the people that I go out and meet for my job.
Is that one of the benefits of working on a sitcom or working on a set show for a while? You have a sort of a fairly normal schedule?
Yeah. It's actually too normal. It's, you know, because we usually get done at 3 o'clock and then I'm like, the rest of the day, I don't know what to do with myself.
Well, SNL was not that. SNL was, was more austere, was it not?
Yes, it was the opposite. It was long hours, decent pay, but it was a lot of fun. So
I read a quote of yours that said when you joined the cast, you were like joining with all these heavy hitters already in place, mm-hmm. and that it was the hardest thing was to get any airtime.
Yes,
was to get on.
Yeah, I mean it was like you know, those guys were amazing. So
we're talking Phil Hartman,
Dana Carvey, right, yeah. Kevin Nealon, Mike Myers. I mean, it was like they were all. It was just a show full of home run hitters.
Right.
And then they brought in me and Farley and Sandler and Schneider and Spade. So we were. I mean, you know, I'll keep using baseball analogies, but we were good double and you know triple hitters.
Right.
You
right.
Know?
Yeah.
We could bat runs in. But those guys were great. So, yeah, it was intimidating, and I just tried to be as serviceable as I could. Do you need coffee? Yeah, I'll get you coffee, guys.
Sure, yeah.
Who's hungry? I'll get sandwiches. So...
yeah, but you were, go ahead, Casey.
No, you're being modest. But, you know, some of the funniest sketches that were on Saturday Night Live, you know, were because of you and because of, you know, how you played the part.
Oh, thank you.
I recollect one, I have to tell you, this is one of my favorites, is when Michael Jackson was going to brush up his image a bit and was trying to go to a club to hit on women.
Yes.
And I believe the guy who was his intermediary was Patrick Stewart.
That's
and
right.
It was hilarious.
Thank you. I wrote that
Did you write that?
Yeah.
Well, good job, sir. Yeah.
And Patrick Stewart wanted to be in it. It was the cold opening. And usually we don't have the host in the cold opening, but he loved that sketch so much. And he was the attorney, and Michael Jackson would go, you know, he was trying to meet girls to show that he wasn't weird, and he'd be like, yeah, baby, I just want to say that if you'd like to come back to my place, I have a llama. Sweet, sweet bitch. And then the girl would go, I'm sorry, excuse me. And she'd walk away, and then Patrick Stewart's character would go, I'm Michael Jackson's attorney, and I'd like to invite you to Never Neverland. Here's a free pass. So, but it was really
fun. It was very funny.
And I was a huge Patrick Stewart. I mean, I liked Star Trek, so it was great. It was a big thrill for me.
I have to ask you also,
I usually do a better Michael Jackson. It's really
fine.
Early.
That was fine. We took a whole bunch of guys.
He does a great one, too.
Not today. Yes.
We're going to Michael Jackson off.
Michael Jackson off. We took a whole bunch of guys, perverted guys, to go see Mean Girls when it opened up.
Perverted guys?
Yeah. Remember that press?
We called it the Dirty Old Man Matinee because that was...
Lindsay Lohan was at her...
She was just about to turn 18.
Yeah.
And we told people that, well, if you feel really gross going by yourself, let's all go together and watch. And you know what? And we were surprised that it was a really good movie.
Surprised. Thank you.
Well, I mean, a surprise at her, I guess, more so. And we weren't sure what to expect. But it was, I laughed out loud.
It was a very good movie. And it was very awkward for me, too, because she was not 18 yet. But she had the physique of a very old 17-year-old. I don't know how to best describe it.
She's built like a brick crap house. And she was, I mean, in that movie, she looked phenomenal.
She looked great. And there would be scenes. There was one scene where I was bringing her into the office after we found the burn book. And before each take, she was getting ready, and I was pretending to not look at her because it was just me and her in this little closet.
Sure, yeah.
And so I would just close my eyes, and she'd go, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't even want to talk about it. I'm not looking at you, and I'm going to go out. And then she'd start laughing, and then we'd go into the scene, and I'd be really angry. And then she would laugh in the scene because of what we were doing.
But right.
Yeah, she was. I got to say, she's one of the nicest people.
Is she? Yeah. Because she's talk about having a troubled history.
Yeah, everything changed after that movie. But I've seen her in between all that time, you know, a couple of times, and I just want to say, like, even she's a very sweet girl.
Yeah, and she's a pretty good actress too,
and really talented.
Yeah,
really. And now she's over 18, and I would love to be her boyfriend. That's what I'm saying.
Were you on SNL when she hosted and did the Harry Potter skit where she came out as Hermione?
No,
You've seen that skit, though, right?
I didn't see it, no.
Well, she came out as a fully developed Hermione, and and all the other cast members of Harry Potter go gaga over her, and just her boobs are popping out of her dress. But it was very funny, and she has the comedic chops to be in a serious actress as well.
Yeah.
And you also have a history of working with hot actresses like Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
And The Ladies Man.
The Ladies Man, which is really an underrated movie. I went and saw it in the theater, and I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, we had a good time doing that movie. And
was that sort of a double edged sword there? Because for a while there were anybody who had a character that appeared in a couple of skits on SNL got a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to Lorne Michaels or did he?
No, they came to us, and we actually did not want to do it.
I would imagine it'd be scary because sometimes it can kill the character.
And it was just too much pressure. You know, it was like, well, this is something we do for fun, and we're glad people like it. But like to invest millions of dollars in making a movie. We were unsure, but then, you know, me and the guys that I wrote it with, all of our spouses said, guys should make this money.
Right. So
we did, you know, and every step along the way, it turned out to be a lot of fun. And Tiffany was really sweet. And actually, one time, me and Will Ferrell, who's in the movie, we were talking about, like, how beautiful she was. And he said, you know, I saw her in the elevator this morning at a hotel, and it had to be like 7:30, and she was the most beautiful person at 7:30 in the morning.
I doubt it. Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I wouldn't mind. And this is me talking. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't mind waking up next to that. Even though I was married, I could never do it.
I remember.
I love her.
At one of the SNL anniversary shows, Chris Rock came up and he said, "Do you realize that all the people in this room are responsible for some of the worst movies ever?"
Yeah. He should have included himself in that.
Yeah.
I think he did.
Well, you're yawning. Wow.
We sat here and listened to her auditions yesterday.
No, she was out late last night, even got in trouble from the husband for being out late last night.
Wow. So. That's nice.
You were threw out the pitch at Wrigley Field recently, right?
Yes, a couple of days ago, and I threw a mad strike. It was unbelievable. All the way from the mound.
Nice.
The catcher caught it, and I was sort of asking him before because he didn't wear any pads, you know.
Right, yeah.
And he was like, I was like, well, can I throw it as hard as I want to? And he goes, yeah, don't worry. And I can help you. And I was like, I can really throw it fast. Maybe you should put on some pads. No, I'll be fine, Mr. Meadows.
In fact, he was naked.
Yeah. Did they have the radar gun on it? How fast did you get it up to?
I probably got it up to about 40 miles an hour.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Maybe.
No, for an average Joe, that's go to one of those pitch games and see how hard you can throw it without your arm ripping out of its socket. Yeah. It's freaking hard.
Yeah. But tonight I'm going to let it rip.
Are you really?
How hard I can throw it.
All right.
because I got good form.
Well, and you know, if you really mess it up, you get national press out of it. So that's what Danny DeVito did last time he was here. And in fact, we were just showing you a video, which is on PrestonandSteve.com, of Mariah Carey.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
She didn't make it 3 feet.
No, it didn't even clear the pitcher's mound.
No. Dude, and that was done in Japan, and now it's like international news.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But she had a great outfit on. Yes.
She
it's
looked like a
conducive for pitching or stripping.
You should wear that tonight.
I should.
Hang, press.
Hang on real quick. I'm going to go to Megan. Hey, Megan, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Megan?
I was calling to offer my services if Tim Meadows actually needs a date for the Phillies game.
Ooh.
Services. It's like the sound of services.
It's like your customer.
Yeah.
So she's 24, Tim. Have you been told you look like anybody famous, Megan?
Not recently.
Okay, like somebody like George Kennedy?
George Washington?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anybody? How would you describe yourself, Megan?
I'm 24. I'm a brunette. I work at a law firm.
Okay.
What else would you like to know?
How big are your boobs?
Yeah.
A solid C.
A solid
C.
That's
good.
A comfy C.
There you
go. Kathy.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, just hang on. We'll get
you. Are you fun to be around?
Absolutely not. I'm a total bore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're a lawyer? Is that what you said?
No, I'm a secretary.
Oh, okay. It's secretary.
Is it just me or does it feel like we're doing ladies' man?
Yeah. That is disgusting.
Yeah, listen, I would like to take you. I would like to give you some dictation. Cut off the tation.
He was always very subtle.
Yeah, listen, I don't beat around the bush when it comes to the ladies. Yeah. So, well, listen, I will think about this. But, yeah, theoretically, I mean, wait, I'm serious now. It's too late. I'd like to see, you know what I look like, but I don't know what you look like. That's the only... But I'm sure you sound nice.
Send a picture. Are you anywhere near a computer that has a picture of you?
I certainly am.
All right, send one over to Nick at WMMR.com right now.
With your contact information.
Yep.
All right, I will do that.
And we'll let you know. All right, thanks, Megan. There you go.
Thank you.
And now our phones are...
We got the ladies, man.
Anne-Marie's flailing her arms like she's having a seizure over here.
You're here late, so we're keeping you.
Yeah. I know. She wants to go.
I look out of the corner of my eye. It looks like I need to put a pencil in her mouth.
Mm. Well, listen, here's...
I thought a plane was landing. She was doing this.
Yeah.
No, like, park over there.
Is she listening to YMCA in her iPod?
Nice. By the way, Tim is going to be at Dave and Buster's today from 7:30 till 9:30.
I am?
Yeah, that's what I've been told. There's a Bill Engel show party at Franklin Mills. Is that tonight? That is going on?
Yeah, that's
By
right.
the way, it's the highest rated sitcom on cable, dude.
Well, what time's the baseball game, though?
You'd be throwing out the first pitch before 7.
Yeah, I don't even know. I just go wherever they tell me.
You don't get to stay at the game, though?
I get to stay for a while, but then I think the Dave and Buster's thing is like a late 7:50.
You get there at 8:15. You'll be fine.
Okay. All right,
and you can watch the game at Dave and Buster's.
Yeah,
yeah, that sounds like a blast.
Send Megan along with you. Give you guys some ballot
offense.
Cards.
No offense, Dave and Buster's.
She can prepare a will for you while you're there.
Hey, Shiggy.
That would be we're gonna shoot two birds with one stone here. I need a will, and I want to make love to you.
Do we want to have Tim help us out with our final gash cab of the day?
Anne-Marie, are you going to have a full-blown heart attack? Okay.
No, she's doing the dance from Airplane.
All right. I got a knife in my back.
Okay, he can't stick around. All right. All right, he does have to go. Tim Meadows, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.